Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Locked in and ready, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm wound up and there is a ton of absolutely off the chart important news. As usual, the quickening is intensifying. The world's supposed to end, December 21st? Of course, I've been saying for a decade that it's a total hoax and a total fraud. Not only did the Mayans not know what was going to happen in the future, but they didn't say the world would end December 21st or any time around then. 2012. But according to all the trendies, the world is going to end in less than 30 days. So I thought today we should probably intersperse with the news and the rest of it. I wanted to open the phones up only for people that want to talk about 2012. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with what I'm saying? I'll give the number out and open the phones up when we come back in the next segment. Also, last night on the radio show, I began to get into Rand Paul calling for amnesty, and I only spent a few minutes on it and did not really make my points, and so I forgot to ask you guys, will you pull me yesterday's stack? I know this is it right here, but also print me articles. Just type in Rand Paul amnesty, Rand Paul immigration reform, and give me four or five mainstream news articles. I mean, I know what he said, but I want the exact quotes, his statement. It was all over the news last Friday through yesterday, and I want to be able to hold that up for people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, as I neurotically do with about 95% of whatever we cover here. It's gotten to the point now that I can't show you the news article. I won't even cover something most of the time. I'm not going to attack Rand Paul. But at the bottom of the hour, I do want to say about 5 minutes of words on the situation. Because if the globalists get an amnesty, this already dead republic is going to be double dead. And I want to explain why to people. So, folks, the great crew in there dealing with my scatterbrain, we make sure at bottom of the hour I have that and then I do cover it as promised here. But, you know, I meant to have the next issue, the December issue of the magazine, have a 2012 report in it. But I thought, you know what, it doesn't even matter. Everybody knows it's a hoax. And instead, I did it all about Obama's reelection and what we face and Ron Paul's battle plan to restore the republic. And we're printing his entire farewell address in the magazine as well. That'll be out in just a few days. There's a few copies. The last issue, if you want it, it's excellent as well, dealing with the transformation of the public into mind-numb zombies. It's a great Christmas gift. I'm not really trying to plug, but I guess it turns into a plug because I plug what is solution-based. You can get 12 issues delivered to your door plus back issues when they're available in the first delivery. Sometimes folks get a few magazines, two or three, in their first issue. Some, we can't guarantee that. The point is, a lot of times you get that, but you get 12 issues delivered to your door, to your friends and family door. I can't think of a better way to wake people up, and I'm not plugging this because it makes us no money. The magazine is designed to break even, though when we syndicate it, it's going to be, to regional folks publishing it. There is a profit model, which we've proven it can be profitable, but we've decided to not make it profitable just because we want it to be accessible to everyone. Kind of like PrisonPlanet.tv now, it's 59 cents per membership a month. You have to buy them in bulk, 10 memberships for the price of one, and it's very simple. You just create a username and passcode, and 10 people can be logged in simultaneously on that username and passcode. So that is 10 memberships for the price of one. And we have done the breakdown financials. That makes it break even right there if half of those folks end up using it every day. It's just to pay for the bandwidth, so we aren't at the mercy of YouTube completely censoring us. So it's kind of a launch base to get the info out. PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars Nightly News subscriptions, all the material up there. So be sure and give that as a gift subscription. Give yourself the gift of PrisonPlanet.tv and support our transmission. And then you can send out e-cards to 9 friends and family with your username and passcode that you share with them, explaining here is your free membership, here is your username passcode to this incredible digital archive of 17 years of material, 9.5 years up and running, PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, all the news, it's a big news day, straight ahead, stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are blasting out the voice of liberty worldwide, waging war on corruption, crashing through the lies and disinformation. I am sworn to defend liberty, and I know many of you love freedom as well and love truth and justice. It's not that any of us are on a high horse or perfect, but we certainly choose life. We certainly choose to be honorable. We choose to attempt to stand up against corruption, and that is all anybody can ask of anyone else. Those of us that love freedom are certainly in this together. Again, it is Monday, the 26th day of November, 2012, and there's a ton of news I didn't get to on the Sunday show because I was in a very dark mood yesterday. I had a lot of bad family news yesterday that I won't get into on air. And I tend to get into a dark mood occasionally, but nevertheless, we are in a dark situation. And not admitting how much of a crisis we're in is only going to get us into worse straits. So I don't overall apologize for being in a dark mood, but it's probably not too good for morale. But I cannot apologize for being real. I do the best I can. Continuing here, there's a lot of obvious new news that we need to get into. The globalists are getting the whole world ready for the next phase of the economic implosion into open depression. We've been in a depression worldwide for about 4 years. Most top economists like John Williams of Shadow Stats and others have confirmed that. Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize winner in economics and also in peace. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts has said that we've been in a depression for a long time. The late, great Bob Chapman has broken that down. You've got many others that have, you know, Mark Faber has said for most areas of the world, we are in a depression, but the system has said we're not even in a recession. They're getting ready to admit a depression and say, we need carbon taxes, we need VAT, and that will keep the welfare flowing. And then they'll prop things up a little bit, kind of slow the landslide down, the avalanche. They'll slow that down a little bit while demanding all these new taxes. And when the globalists get their VAT, their carbon, and their wellhead, and they've got a bunch of others, but they're going to ram all those in, saying, hey, the stock market's dropped 4,000 points, 5,000 points. The welfare checks aren't going to make it. And I don't know if they'll do this year or next year. The point is they've already done it in Europe three times the last 2 years. They're getting ready to do it again. And if you just give us trillions more and have your government sign over any sovereignty that's left to the private ECB, European Central Bank, this is all in the news, unfolding, and then they announce, they're so arrogant, they think you're so stupid, they then go up and crow, you know, like a crow or a rooster. Like, you know, rooster gets up on the fence right at sunrise, 5:30, and goes, cockle-doodle-doo. That's what male birds do. Male peacocks do it. And they climb up. Cockle-doodle-doo. You're my slave. You're my slave. You're my bitch. You're my hoe. I'm your pimp. Excuse me using those terms, but that's what they're doing. And I don't like it. I don't like them getting up and announcing that we're their female dogs. I don't like them hiking their legs on us. So this is the type of news that we see just pouring out. And as soon as they get, and it's all being announced, it's already being implemented in California, it's statewide, cities like Austin. So they're doing it. It's states like California, states like New York are putting their carbon taxes in their different names. Well, California calls it a carbon tax. A carbon footprint tax. And you notice that other countries like Australia have now put it in. And by the way, in Australia, they arrest you if you criticize it. Boy, I thought Australia was a free country. By the way, if we put drudgereport.com up on screen for folks, you'll notice up in the right-hand corner, if we center that just a little bit, it says Land of the Free. And up there in the left-hand corner. And it goes over a group of reports that are being reported on there. And it says, woman arrested for riding manatee. Man jailed for 4 days for recording cops. Company fires 150 employees for not getting flu shots. School district requiring students to wear microchips to track every move. And, of course, palm scanners in schools and hospitals. And you notice that one of those articles there on the site is a story we posted at Infowars.com by a group that breaks down the fact, a group of journalists, that it is not illegal to film the police, and I want to get them on the show. And right there on that site, they have countless examples. If you link through in our article to the site, the exact name of it is not illegal to film the police. In fact, let me just find it here. I had it here in my stack. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can take it down. You can't read the left-hand side. So just, yeah, there it is. California man jailed for recording cops, and that's from PINAC. That's the website. And if you click on that blue link right there, Carlos Miller, you can go see the full site and the full article from Photography is Not a Crime. That's what PINAC stands for. And it just integrates in with a new article out today by Paul Joseph Watson, U.S. Army soldier arrested by police for asking questions. Georgia man was filming cops during traffic stops, so they arrested him. He's very polite, which you don't even have to be by law, and he still goes to jail because he, the police officer, because the guy pulled into a church parking lot off the road, and the cops wanted to tell him, now leave this parking lot, as if the guy wasn't going to leave the parking lot when he pulled off the road. And the man says, what, is this not a public place? And the cop says, that's it, you're going to jail. And again, that's what you'd expect in North Korea. That's not what you'd expect in a free society. And I did cover the good news yesterday that the cop in the town, actually in a wealthy neighborhood there in a major city in Oklahoma, the neighbors saw the three-year-old pee up against a tree. And, you know, I've been at the beach when my children have been 2 or 3 years old, and they it just seems natural. You know, you look over, and if it's a girl, you know, they're squatting, peeing in the surf, or, you know, my son. And I'm like, hey, stop that. Go to the porta potty. But, I mean, it's as natural as a puppy squatting on your rug and urinating. And they gave her a $2,000-plus fine. There was talk of charging them with sex crimes. That's out of newsok.com. Piedmont. Officer fired over public urination ticket. That's what we need to see. Police departments need to find out who control freaks are, who petty thugs are, and fire them. Fire them. What you want is professional people that really want to serve the community and want to go after bad guys, who want to find the people all over the country breaking into folks' houses, robbing their garages, the carjackers. I mean, I can take you right now, and I intend to do this as soon as I get the time. I don't want to send my reporters out because I wouldn't ask them to do this. Though I know my reporters would do it. They've got a lot of courage. I could go to East Austin right now, anywhere in a 20-mile square area or more. It's even bigger than that. And I can show you prostitutes and crack dealers right now. But you don't see police anywhere. But I can take you, I can show you people selling crack cocaine all day and selling their bodies all day. Because I, for a decade, I haven't really done a show in 6, 7, 8 years much. I've been down there a few times as a guest. I went down to Access TV, and part of that community program was to build city projects and government buildings in East Austin. And so I would drive over there, and no matter what route I took, I would have crack dealers run up to the car window when I was at a red light. I would have women that looked like they were from Day of the Dead literally with, you know, no hair, looking like zombies, you know, stumbling around. The few times I was dumb enough to get gasoline in those areas, you know, offering to perform sex acts on me. And I had my car robbed repeatedly in the parking lot, and other people had their windows knocked out and robbed in the parking lot. So I've experienced it. And I have occasionally driven back through the area, and it is street fights going on openly, people being stabbed. In fact, so many times I would drive over there to edit at night or whatever, and there'd be cops with white, you know, white sheets over people, dead, people dead being loaded. I probably saw that 5-6 times. I mean, you know, where you actually see the body. One time there was even a big red spot on the gurney. I mean, you could see the, you know, blood dripping out of the dead body. The you'd be in a red light watching dead people being loaded into ambulances. I mean, that's all going on right now. But don't worry, we're going to arrest a woman for posting on her Facebook a photo of her with a manatee, because manatees come up to you. They're sea cows, mermaids, as the Spanish called them. You know, they'll come over to your boat, whatever. Well, if you pet them, you're going to jail. And they're still looting. What is it, 3 weeks after the hurricane? The Associated Press reported still looting going on in New Jersey and New York, but that's no big deal. And don't worry, if you're pro-sovereignty and part of the UKIP mainline party with Nigel Farage and Lord Monckton, you're going to have your kids taken by CPS. That's now happening. Side issue, I said I wanted to open the phones up. We come back, I'll open the phones up. What is your take on 2012? That issue and that issue alone, interspersed with a bunch of other news, 800-259-9231. Here back live again. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up in studio, because they're visiting here in the United States. Well, one of them's based here in the U.S. We're going to have Robert Beans, CEO of StartPage.com, in studio. Big critics and experts on Google, and David Bodnick, founder, in studio. And we're going to have Dr. Catherine Albrecht popping in a little bit via video Skype as well. Because it's coming out, court rules that Google NSA spy ties can remain secret. Google engineers knew for 2 years that the company Street View cars were stealing email passwords via Wi-Fi. Gee, they knew, kind of like John Wayne Gacy knew he was burying kids underneath his basement. Really, think they knew? You think Charlie Manson knew what was inside Sharon Tate's uterus? Continuing here, Google privacy settlement with FTC wins court approval. We're going to be looking at Google in the third hour today. And Bev Harris, I had thought she was on next hour. She was scheduled for next, but I'm moving her back. If not, we'll have her on another day. But I want to look in hindsight at the election fraud that all points towards Obama engaging in fraud. And you know me, folks, I just report the facts. It's not that he would have saved us. It's Romney. It's that the system wanted Obama. And now you got Jamie Foxx calling him our Lord and Savior. They did that 4 years ago, seriously, during the campaign, you remember. I covered that in the Obama deception that's even more important today than ever. That film. And these people really think free cars, free houses, everything. It's designed to bankrupt us. And I'm going to talk about that at the start of the next segment and then start going to your phone calls after I break down Rand Paul and his calls for basic amnesty and give you my take on that. Here is some of the other news. Soros and Paulson are back to Gold Rush. About 6 months ago, they said buy it because they were busy buying it. And then they said dump it so they can manipulate the market. Now they're rushing back in again, and gold obviously is way up. There's some of those reports. Soros and Paulson are back to Gold Rush RT. Here's Bloomberg. Soros buying gold as record prices seen on stimulus. Why buying gold after Paulson and Soros is foolish. Is what Forbes is saying. And here's another one. George Soros buys millions in gold. Continuing, billionaire Soros Paulson get big on gold, ABC News. So that's just some of the stuff came out in the last few days. Here's some of the top stories at Infowars.com. If you go to the site in the featured news area, U.S. Army soldier arrested by police for asking questions. I already mentioned that, but I'm going to cover that more. I also want to play some clips of this during the show today. If not, it'll be on the nightly news tonight, because he said this before, but now he's intensifying it. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's a top globalist planner, not an owner, but one of their top generals, one of their ringwraiths. Populist resistance is derailing the New World Order. And what is the New World Order? We'll break that down. A technocratic, scientific tyranny designed to reduce your life expectancy and fertility, to remove you. The globalists stole the world. Now they want you out of the way. Do you expect me to talk, Goldfinger? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Will the peak of the solar cycle in 2013 produce technology crippling solar storms? NASA says that's a possibility. Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, and China, now more free than America in notable ways. Mike Adams has an excellent report. In the ultimate media war, governments target reporters. Washington blog breaks that down, and that ties that in to reporters everywhere. I mean, in some cases, you can be 200 yards away filming police in rural areas, major cities, and they come over and arrest you. And they don't care that courts rule, obviously, against them and they lose lawsuits because it's taxpayer money. That just further bankrupts things to the foreign banks. And again, if you want your three-year-old arrested for peeing in the front yard, or if you want parents arrested for the 10-year-old playing in the front yard, they're saying that's negligence now and endangerment. I mean, then welcome to the New World Order. Excellent article by Paul Craig Roberts, the Osama bin Laden myth, breaking down that he's like Santa Claus, a fable. It was amazing. My wife wanted me to go to Whole Foods this weekend. And because she was under the weather, and I went to Whole Foods, and it's kind of the Whole Foods closer to my house is like one of those big open mall areas where there's all these big shopping center, you know, buildings, like an outdoor mall. And so I saw Santa Claus. So I said to my kids, hold on. I was behind a little fence where he was, you know, had kids sitting on his lap. When kids got up to walk away, I said, hey, Santa. You're kind of like bin Laden. You're a fable. And he goes, no, I'm a lot more alive than him. Have a nice day, Alex. It turned out the guy was a listener. Reason I know is I turned the camera and started walking off, and I went back and talked to him, and he's a listener. So I guess Santa does know my name, and he's as real as Osama bin Laden. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Here back live. I know we've got loaded phone lines because I do want to get your take on 2012, and we should do some more shows on this. Obviously, we'll be live on December 21st, supposedly the end of the world. I am saying it is not going to be the end of the world. I'm saying you might have a few cults commit suicide on that date. And I know the mainstream media will say that I said the world would end on that date. And I know they will edit shows together to make it sound like that. And that's just what they do. The reason I know is they've already done it. I've already in the last couple of years seen, I don't know how many articles. It's more than 20, probably more than 30. It's quite a few news pieces on television and articles saying people like Alex Jones that think space aliens are going to land, people like Alex Jones who believe the world is going to end in December 2012. I've never said that. And again, I don't sit here and occasionally talk about this because I'm too obsessed over what's said about yours truly. It shows how the mainstream media thinks you're stupid. They think you're dumb. And they tailor their propaganda at the lowest common denominator level. And I don't think, I know it's backfiring. If you look at all the numbers, you see it out there. Television, cable, mainstream media websites. It's not just web that's killing mainline television or mainline print. It's alternative web is killing the dinosaur corporate globalist media, the establishment left and the establishment right. That controlled false choice is falling apart, as Ron Paul said 2 weeks ago. He said, we have state-run media. In fact, I want to do a nightly news report. I'm doing the nightly news, what, tomorrow? I want to do a whole report breaking down the proof that we have state-run media, because I don't think people understand how much money. It's in the hundreds of billions of dollars. I saw a report a few months ago where $10 billion was being spent a year just to promote Obamacare messages in dramas, sitcoms, and shows on TV. $10 billion. What was the number? $8.2 billion was spent by Bush over 2 years to promote No Child Left Behind federalization of testing to take over the schools, to make sure they're dumbing them down properly and to federalize everything. And you know, all of that kind of just ended. One commentator got $245,000, one conservative black commentator, to promote it to his radio audience. No, it was $8+ billion, and the different oversight groups in Congress, had hearings, and there was the New York Times headline: "Congress rules fake news illegal." In fact, guys, type that in: "Congress rules fake news illegal." And I think it was GAO also did a report on it. But, I mean, the snapshot was $8 billion. The snapshot on government pays for pro-Obama messages, pro-Obamacare. Folks, that isn't a free country. Let me give you a little news flash here. But see, you got all the paid media, over $100 billion a year one way or another. And $100 billion is my number. I mean, if you add it all together, different government, PSA, propaganda, last time I checked some numbers, I did about an hour of re-research. I say re-research. So I kind of thin-sliced this stuff, integrated it all together as a guesstimation. It's like I said a few weeks ago, UT has over $100 billion in assets. I went and looked it up. It was way over that. They got public numbers, the $20 billion and stuff, but it's way over that if you look at the comprehensive annual financial reports. I mean, there are cities that have got over $100 billion, like Dallas. But, again, I'm now digressing. Yeah, you heard me, $100 billion. There are some water districts in the state where I live that have over $1 billion, just in liquid funds. But, but they need tax increases. They take your tax money and invest it in offshore derivatives. Do you understand that? And then leverage it against you again. But, you know what? I always give the number out and then just enter the Minotaur's maze of news and never get out. How did I get off into all this? Oh, yeah. I was just going to have a little intro here about government tyranny and why I wanted to get the head of the UK Independence Party on, who's a very busy man, Nigel Farage. What an impressive statesman. He's the Ron Paul of Europe. And, of course, who founded the party with him? Lord Monckton, who is accessible. It's very hard to get Farage on because he's just in meetings constantly and back and forth across the English Channel. He's in the European Union Parliament. He almost died a few years ago in that mysterious plane crash. The pilot is basically brain damaged now and in bad shape, but that's a side issue. You thought when they took the three kids from the family, well-to-do, upstanding family of the Libertarian UKIP party, I mean, mainline conservative libertarian, not even as radical as Ron Paul, really, if you call that radical. And they took their kids, and this is in the London Telegraph, they are not apologizing. Oh, yeah, they take conservatives' kids now in England saying it's mentally ill. Folks, this is the beginning of the re-education camps. England's just a few years ahead of us. So there's that headline. Okay, let me just stop there and give you my take on Rand Paul, and then we'll go to your phone calls. Ladies and gentlemen, Rand Paul is positioning himself to run for president. I have known Rand Paul for, I don't know, 14, 15 years, because I would interview Ron Paul once a month, you know, going back to 1996. I would routinely interview Ron Paul hundreds of times. And a lot of times if Ron Paul was in a close race, which hadn't happened for a long time. He usually won with over 65% of the vote in South Texas. But early on, sometimes in some of his first congressional re-election races, it was pretty close. And they pulled out the stops against him, the Republican Party as well as the Democrats. So they would call and say, hey, you had the congressman on last week. How about his son? So I'm proud of the fact that I've known Rand Paul longer than most people out there have. I was talking to Lou Rockwell off the air the other day. We had a little meeting about things off air. And you know, I was saying how much I like Rand Paul, and he was talking about how much he likes him. And that we wish he was totally stubborn like his father. Well, I was saying that. But that, you know, he's a good guy. And that, you know, clearly, and I was saying, yeah, you know, I'm just honored to have known him so long. He said, I've known him since he was 10 years old, you know, over at my house eating dinner, because Lou Rockwell, of course, was the chief of staff for Ron Paul and encouraged him to run for Congress originally. And we were talking about it, and we were talking about the fact that it's well known, but Rand has since said, yes, he does want to run for president in 2016. And I will support him in 2016. Currently, I will support him. But we've got to be asking the question here, do we want to play patty cake with the power structure? Do we want to do things that the power structure sees as favorable so that they will, A, not block Rand Paul, and B, not assassinate him? And that's a discussion that has to be had. The collectivists are very afraid of him and demonized him in the campaign. The Democrats did. And well, first the Republicans and then the Democrats in Kentucky. But the Republicans did something smart. When Rand Paul beat them and their banker-backed candidate, Mitch McConnell came in and said, okay, now we're going to help you, son. And I know that Jesse Benton and I know that Jack Hunter and I know others have gotten Rand Paul too cozy with the Republicans. I think he should be congenial and things like that, but I think he should be like his father and be hardcore and not compromising. And even if he doesn't win the presidency doesn't matter if you don't win it your way. And when the system attacks you more and more, that's a badge of courage. That's a certification that you're good. You don't want the establishment to say nice things about you. And if he would have taken on the mantle of his father, which he has not done, I guess he wants to show he's his own man. Well, if your dad wasn't so amazing, I mean, maybe, you know, be your own man. But I think Rand Paul's making a mistake in general terms. I'll leave it at that. In the things he's doing, I would not meet with Peter Thiel, member of the Bilderberg Group. I would not take $2.5 million from him. Because the globalists know libertarianism is the wave of the future. They want to co-opt it after they steal everything. And I'm not even saying Thiel's done that himself, but the globalists, I mean, you know, that's a group that makes their money out of organized, planned, inside job, crony capitalist, monopoly capitalist models while socializing us at the grassroots. So I'll say right now, I think that's a mistake. In fact, I know it's a mistake. And, you know, coming out and saying decriminalize marijuana, that's a positive thing. Calling for states' rights, that's a positive thing. Calling for the end of the Patriot Act and the secret arrest of Americans under NDAA and saying Obama shouldn't be saying the UN is over our military, that's great things. So overall, Rand Paul is doing a lot of really important things, and he's the best we've got in the U.S. Senate. So I like Rand Paul. But that doesn't mean I'm in a cult here and that I'm not going to talk about issues that I have with some of the things he's doing. Now, that said, I want to explain here where I stand on immigration very clearly, not from a political perspective, but from a real geopolitical level. Not what we want to believe, not with what's popular, not with what the media is out there pushing, but the reality. Here's a quote from Rand Paul in statements last Friday. We're getting an ever-dwindling percent of the Hispanic vote, Paul says. We have to let people know, Hispanics in particular, we're not going to put you on a bus and ship you home. And that's a statement. And it goes on. And he has said we need to find, continuing here, a path towards, quote, eventual legalization. Okay. The program that Bush brought up three times and then tried to keep secret the third time, but Senator Sessions released, would legalize the 30 million illegals, that's the real number, and then let them legalize their family and bring them in. And before I get into all of that, because that's the Republican plan that's being pushed, that's what Boehner says. You notice the Republicans now say, oh, we're going to be for tax increases because the banksters want that money for more bailouts. So let's talk the facts here. First, the media sells it that all Hispanics want open borders. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that, well, if you're for Raza, the race, no other group is allowed to talk like that. It's not because the globalists like Hispanics or Latinos. They hate everybody. It's that they want to use the, what is it, 600 million that can easily get to the United States, 120 million in Mexico. What's the total population? I meant to look this up this morning. I know it's 600 million that are easily accessible to get into the U.S., but that's only counting a small portion. What's the total population of Latin America? Google total, use the NSA search engine, total population of Latin America. Give me that number. I know it's close to 800 million. The point is, you got hundreds and hundreds of millions of people who come from incredibly corrupt third world colonial systems who want to come here. And the government, I covered this yesterday, has websites saying, come here and have your babies for free. Come here and get free welfare. The illegals are allowed to get as many tax ID numbers they want and get as many welfare checks as they want. One home in Austin got tens of millions of dollars. We've covered all of this. It's been in the news. You've seen it in the news. And it's all left alone. Why is that? It's economic warfare to drive down the wages, to bankrupt the country, and to create giant client groups that will vote for socialism because they perceive they're getting an Obama phone. Guys, you can just 572 million. Yeah, the number I've got, though, is if you count all the other Caribbean islands and the rest of it, I've seen some estimates. Perhaps, I think they're saying by the end of, okay, we've got that, so it's getting close to 600 million, to my original. But I've seen some estimates, perhaps they're saying 800 million by the end of the decade. But the point is, you've got 600 plus million people that want to come here. And it'd be one thing if we took 30 million on and there was no welfare. It would be probably a boom for the country. And a lot of folks from Latin America will work hard. Americans have had liberty so long, I don't care what color they are. A lot of Americans have gotten lazy. A lot of Americans are still the hardest working people in the world, whether you're Hispanic, black, white, Asian, whatever the case is. But you've got people coming here, and the ideology in the public schools, the universities is, we're going to take America over. We're going to do all this. La Raza, you can't wear American flags. La Reconquista, La Infasora, La Reconquer. All of this, and everybody knows this is going on. And it's all so the globalists get a voting block. So, A, this won't help Hispanics long term. B, it will just collapse North America like Latin America has collapsed. And you can't say, oh, we want to be friendly. Yes, we want Latino votes. So we'll be for legalization. And then, oh, we'll legalize the next group too because we want to get Latino votes. They've been sold on average. Now you're getting, what, 80% or so calling themselves socialists that are voting who are, quote, Latino. What, become Lenin so you get elected? That's Marxism in Latin America. what, become Hugo Chavez, Rand? I mean, that the globalists would probably put you in if you came and announced you wanted communism. And the bankers would sit offshore siphoning off the majority of the money. This is the plan. So you can't go to lawbreakers. I mean, we already have the most open country in the world. The government gives the people free health care. Come here and have your babies. That's on the official government websites. We can't do this. And this is the idea now. They go, oh, Obama won. That's a mandate for open borders. That's the globalist. That's the New World Order. That's the end of this country. And they've sold the idea that you're anti-Hispanic if you don't want open countries. Really? Mexico, you open yourself up to the rest of Latin America. What, are you anti-Latino, Mexico? For Bryce and many others that are patiently holding, we'll start your calls at the next hour, getting into 2012 and the rest of the news. And Bev Harris joins us at the bottom of the hour. But continuing here, I started talking about state-run media earlier at the start of the next segment and then digressed off into a bunch of other issues. But we really do have a state-run media more and more, but running parallel to the alternative media, which is independent, shoestring budget. But it doesn't matter because we've become so popular, not just Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, but many other sites. And because you have supported us, the system now openly says they want to censor and shut down the real media. So we shouldn't even call ourselves the alternative media. We're the real media. We're the people's media versus state-run media. And you've got to start seeing it like that because that's what it is. They don't like the fact that you can go to PrisonPlanet.tv and see a well-produced nightly news show. They don't like the fact that you can go to DrudgeReport.com and that he can link to one of our videos or someone else's and take something obscure and make it the issue in the country. They're not controlling the narrative. As Hillary Clinton said last year, they're losing the info war against the people. Brzezinski said it 2 years ago and said it again over the weekend at a prestigious conference. He said the globalists are losing control. Populist movements will overthrow global government because your global government is an authoritarian nightmare. You may get a bunch of mainline, well-meaning liberals to sign on to authoritarian world government because they believe in making people do things for the greater good. But we know you're not even trying to make us do things for the greater good. That's bad enough. We know you're premeditated and evil, and we're exposing you. The signal's already been sent. It's like we've already stabbed the globalist about 50 times in the stomach. Their guts are hanging out. They're still moving forward on adrenaline. By the way, they're stabbing us, too. This is a fight to the death. I hope everybody knows that. And every time we shove the stiletto, the big ice pick, into their guts, whoever wants it most, whoever's left standing will then be re-energized like the phoenix. That's how political systems work. And we're in the fight of our lives. You need to understand that. And the more they get oppressive now, the more it's going to backfire on them unless they can totally take over. And that window's closing on them. But they don't care. They're going to just throw fits and try to overrun us. Not going to work. Because all the zombies, don't look at the zombies, the dumbed-down, slobbering public, the poor victims of this, and think, oh my gosh, they'll never fight the tyranny. It's never been the general public that fights tyranny. It's a tiny group of elite. And then there's us, and we are small compared to the majority, but we are a throng, an army. There are tens of millions fully awake in the U.S., hundreds of millions worldwide, and our numbers are growing. Everyone I talk to that goes to Europe or goes to Latin America or goes to Africa or goes to Asia says your name is everywhere. InfoWars is spray painted on the subway walls. That's not a power trip for Alex Jones. That's the opposite. I go, man, we're actually breaking through to the other side. I better do a good job. But I just want to give you that good report, ladies and gentlemen. There are forces of good in this universe as well, not just evil. But you have got to stand up and be the leader you were born to be. Not who the globalists said you were. They said you were a failure. They said you were ugly. They said you were pathetic. Stop believing that lie. Stop believing Madison Avenue. You are an incredible creation in the middle of a gorgeous planet, overrun by criminals. Defeat them. We'll be back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Our weapon is the truth. It is a double-edged dagger. Plunge it repeatedly into the heart of lies over and over again. Don't worry about who's winning the fight. Just fight. Savage the enemy. Decide that they will fall, and they will fall. Own it. All right, if you just joined us, I still have ultra-massive news to get into. Supreme Court may revive a challenge. Well, they have revived a challenge, but they may overturn Obamacare on the First Amendment grounds. Oh, yeah, that's what I've been saying the entire time. I mean, it's so unconstitutional. It is anathema. It is 180 degrees. The opposite of the Bill of Rights and Constitution and freedom. I mean, I'm going to get to that later. Bev Harris coming up in 30 minutes. But listen, I've been beat up pretty bad by both sides. The mainstream media has basically implied that I think the world's going to end December 21st. I've never said that. I've always said it's a hoax. Others get mad and say, Nibiru, Planet X will kill us, you know, this year. Really? I thought it was supposed to kill me in 2000 or whatever. And so we're going to your calls on this subject right now. Bryce in, where are you calling from, Bryce?
Hello.
Hey, buddy, where are you calling me from?
Missouri. I guess they didn't put it down.
No. I'm just out of it today. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. I agree. Yeah, I think it's a hoax. This is one of the subjects, of course, that's addressed in the movie that I recommended you to see. This is Bryce in Missouri, the panacea for humankind guy. But anyway, the point is you know, it's just like Y2K or any other apocalyptic end of the world scenario that people feed into it in some sick way. They want something like that to happen. I mean, if you think about all the films that are out there in the last, not even 20 years, but even beyond that, of this apocalyptic end that's going to come, and here we are faced with another scenario. It just puts people into fear, and it doesn't do anybody any good. The truth of the matter is that God's in control. And yeah, there's going to eventually be a human history as we know it ending, but not on our, wisdom or anything like that. This is something that we can't predict or tell. And this is why I was concerned about the rapture predicament, you know, and how I think that the government could have staged some type of false flag in that, thinking that the end of the world's going to happen. So, you know, my prayers, of course, are that the New World Order doesn't do anything irrational or anything like that during that time. But again, this is something that society keeps feeding, and it's been going back hundreds and thousands of years.
Well, that's right. The high priest would say, give me more political power, give me the nicest house, bring me offerings of food. Because, the little god, the little Kona Tiki god, isn't actually eating the offerings of food and virgins. Yeah, he is, the high priest and his little priest class are. And pretty soon, the warriors have to go into the priest class or the sun won't come back. And that's basically what they do. They use solar eclipses and things to scare people. And now we see Al Gore doing the same thing today. Give me carbon taxes. Give me control. Or it's the end of the world if you don't do that. Very well said, sir.
Oh, yeah, thank you. No problem. Just by chance, did you ever check out the film or a little bit of it?
No, I didn't. I appreciate your call. I never got around to that. I think you've called like four times and gotten through to tell me about a film. And I just, that's kind of my problem, is that there's so much going on that I get to the point where I can't even keep track of any of it. I don't really go and see entertainment films much anymore. I don't really go out with friends anymore. I don't do anything, really, except play with my children a little bit and then research. Reality has totally taken my world over. And then I sit there and watch the whole fake reality go by like a train. Like I'm sitting there on the grass under a tree watching trains go by. And in a way, I guess I'm not in reality because I'm in reality. To be in reality, I have to be delusional and join in with people in the Matrix.
You walk into this room at your own risk because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Coming up, we've got the audio and the video. Top globalist Zbigniew Brzezinski has come out again and given a speech saying that the globalists are in deep trouble and populist movements are waking up to the New World Order. So that is coming up today. We're also going to have in studio here with us the creators, the designers of StartPage, one of the biggest alternative search engines out there, but we'll really use it as a way to investigate Google and where Google, the NSA front company, is going. Now, I want to open the phones up for John and Brendan and Danang, I believe, and Mike and others here, because I want to spend some time over the next few weeks, you know, before the end of the world, December 21st, to talk about how that's a total hoax. Now, that's my perspective. I don't believe a Planet X is going to hit us or a comet or aliens are going to land. If you actually read the Mayan prophecy that I don't even put stock in to begin with, and I've been down to Chichen Itza, Akamal, Tulum, you know, more than 10 times in my life because my parents loved a vacation down there when I was a kid mainly, but I've been back since, back with my family a few years ago. And I've gone, you know, to the extensive archaeological, you know, tour guide events, you know, the more in-depth ones. And all of those Mayan tour guides laugh and say, well, the prophecy says it's a new hearth or a new age, not the end of the world. And that is indeed what it says. Now, they have the full tablets if you do put stock in that. So it is a manufactured hoax put out by the globalists in the 60s and 70s, just like they tell Christians it's always the rapture in 1989 or 2011. It's a cop-out, so people say, well, I'm not going to say no to kids having to wear microchips to, you know, buy and sell at school, or I'm not going to say no to the TSA groping little children. I'm not going to say no to drones in the sky. I'm not going to say no to face scanning to buy and sell. I'm not going to say no to forced inoculations. I'm not going to say no to the announcement of world government that's biblical, because it's the rapture, and it's all just a giant cop-out. And it's also Lenin, and then Stalin said it again in a different way, said that one person dies and the media can hype it up and make it a huge pageant and everybody will cry. But 10,000 die, it's a statistic, and they know that. You've got 50 million people, roughly, half of them children, starving to death or dying from malnutrition, dying from diseases that were caused by their malnutrition. Something like 30-plus million die of starvation itself, half of those children, and then another 20 million or so from complications. You can look up the latest numbers for yourself. Some estimates are lower, some are higher, but it's 50 million. Boy, that's a pretty big deal. 50 million. 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 Is that an issue? No, it's not. A lot of people say, oh, there are too many folks, let them die. Well, the point is that's going on. And you see all these dramas and shows and Discovery History Channel shows about the world after humans and end caps at the bookstore, the grocery store about it and how great it'll be without humans. And, oh, we're going to merge with machines soon. And, oh, there won't be any humans anymore. The elite are going to get rid of us. That's in lots of magazines and publications now. And people read and go, yeah, they're going to get rid of us soon. See, it's gone from I'm a kook to just, well, what's wrong with that? Humans are scum. You know, you can't deny we're scum. But for the new agers and people, I've seen the different polls out there, even people that are agnostics or atheists, they think something's going to happen next month. So they don't believe in God, but they think the world's going to end because somebody told them the Mayans said so. So it's a way to divert us from the real problems that are really going on. It is a total and complete scam. And it's also, though, a way to prepare people when there are mass plague releases that are meant to reduce the population down the road, decades from now probably, maybe sooner, but definitely in the cards. We're moving towards it here, not away from it. That it's a self-fulfilling race consciousness memory in the entire human race expecting this. So that when it does happen, people expect it and get in line. So that is what the 2012 fraud, hoax, pantheon is all about in closing. It is a cop-out for people to not be involved and say, oh, it's the end of the world anyways. It's a nihilistic attitude. That's just the way it is. And so many nihilists are such cowards, they buy in to everything as the end of the world. But when they're dying of liver failure or they're dying of something, oh, my God, they want it taken care of. They want to live longer. So it's a very insecure, childlike cop-out. And I'll tell Christians this. I'm not going to debate with you. Clearly, the beast makes war on the saints and overcomes them. Clearly, the rapture is after the devil is defeated. I mean, a five-year-old could read the Bible and see that that's what it says. It's after Satan is thrown into the pit by the archangel, tied with the big chain. It's all clearly there that God comes back, blows the trumpet, the dead in Christ, and then all of this. And it's an interpretation. But in the last 150 years, the big globalist funded preachers have taught everybody it's always the end of the world. And German Christians didn't fight Hitler until later because they thought he was the Antichrist, the end of the world. Communists in Russia thought Lenin and Stalin were both Antichrist. Christians in Cambodia thought Pol Pot was the Antichrist. And there are many Antichrists. There's an Antichrist spirit, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to fight evil. And now they say 501c3 churches, render unto Caesar, do whatever government says it's ordained by God. Really, we're the government. The Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Constitution is what we're supposed to follow. It's godly government if it's ordained by God and following that. But when government, I've seen preachers on TV say the Christians should have worshipped false idols and that they were sinning to be thrown to the lions. This is the teaching of devils. You'd get more truth going to a satanic church because at least there they're being honest about what they stand for than one of these churches. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Because real Satanism, it doesn't have a picture of a hot blonde on the wall with some nerd with an egghead trying to act evil and scary. Some guy that if you caught him in an alley and pulled out a knife and showed them real evil, because good can flip on the real switch, would literally beg on their knees. They don't know what evil is. Evil comes to you as friendly and loving and going to protect you. It's going to keep you out of harm's way. You're not going to have to face any adversity. You're just going to have to give up your free will and join the collective, and everything will be all right. Satanists are children. They don't know anything about true evil. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. John in Texas, your take on 2012. Do you agree or disagree with me, or what would you like to add?
I just think it's a tough question, Alex, because the globalists have screwed the world up so bad. If they were to launch an attack on Iran before New Year's and it chain-reacted into a World War III with nuclear weapons flying, it could be the end of the world. And with them patrolling with these weather weapons and stuff, I mean, it's hard to stand.
Well, I think that is the only proviso that I did not make, and that I'm glad you raised, but I've made that point before. I'm just saying I agree with you, that they've got weather weapons. They've got so many other systems that they're so crazy that they possibly could detonate antimatter weapons, which they admitted to the San Francisco Chronicle they had about 7 years ago, and I've confirmed they've had for at least 20 years. They could destroy us with their fission fusion, cyclotrons, their heavy superconducting super colliders, their particle beam weapons, their experiments. Yeah, they could kill us anytime, and that'd be the end of it.
I had one real quick question, Alex, before I leave.
Yeah.
Dr. Strangelove, why don't you ever play that clip where Sterling Hayden goes into a rant about fluoride, how it was a communist plot? I thought that, you know, you'd have that on there.
You know, I asked for that, and I got, and it was, and I don't think I was clear with it. I said, get me the Dr. Strangelove clip where General Jack T. Ripper talks about fluoridating ice cream mandrake, children's ice cream. And I ended up getting the other clip, which is interesting. But yeah, we should get that. We're going to start adding more movie clips to the show. That's actually something I've got planned in my journal right there that I'm going to try to launch in the next week. But yes, sir. Great, great points. Anything else?
It really was a communist plot, Alex.
I know. It's in, two Pulitzer Prize-winning books. Scherer's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich and one other. It came out in the Nuremberg trials that during the split up of Poland by the Nazis and the Soviets, Nazis visited. This came out in the hearings. They visited Soviet gulags. And they noticed they were adding about 5 parts per million sodium fluoride to the water to make people docile, so the Nazis took it back. Yeah, no, it is a communist plot. Yeah.
Because when I was just started reading newspapers in like 1959, when I was about 10 years old, when they just started that program, the newspapers were criticizing the John Birch Society because they were opposing it, saying all those crazy John Birchers.
But communism's only one floor. That guy's, I'll grab it during the break. John P. Holdren's eco-science, it's a eugenics plot. They just want to make you communist so you're dependent on them, but there's a level above that and then another level above that. And we live under a communist plot. I mean, look at it. We're by and large a communist country now with kind of a fascist gravy on top directed by eugenicists who are exempt from it all. Yeah. No, they poison our food, our water, everything. Yeah, it's a communist plot. Yeah. Should do a whole report on this sometime, how secret societies really began in every civilization, why they develop the same, why they always end up in human sacrifice. And in summation, it's because control freaks gravitate into positions of power as scam artists, telling the tribe that they will make the crops grow. They will keep the marauders away. They will make the sun and moon come back from eclipses if the general population becomes their slaves. And that's what Al Gore does. I mean, they get on the news like you're a primitive, and they say, you see that hurricane? Doesn't matter if there have been more than 20 that bad or worse that have hit in the last 400 years on the East Coast that have flooded things out like that since the Spanish discovered this area. Discovered it for Europe. It was a discovery to Europe. It's kind of like if you didn't know the sun was outside, you walked out and discovered it was up there. It doesn't mean others don't know it's there. So I always get emails saying, Alex, you know, Europeans didn't discover America. It was here before. That's arguing how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. My point is, I don't know how people's brains work. Sometimes it just doesn't even matter. The issue here is that's what Bloomberg says. He says, we need carbon taxes because of the hurricane. Pay the mega banks money, and they will save you from the hurricane. And then they say, pay more taxes, and government will save you from the hurricane. And government, still 3 weeks into the hurricane, isn't helping people. They're having to help themselves on the East Coast. Just an example. And that's what 2012 is. It's just government witch doctors saying it's the end of the world, so you don't bother to be involved because you think everything's over. And then that makes you basically dead inside because you believe you're already dead. which is just an example of how they want you to hate yourself, think you're bad, and think you're dead already. So you just stand down and basically aren't a real person while they control human development. That's what it's all about. Brendan in Wisconsin, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. We talked down in Chantilly at Bilderberg, and over Thanksgiving, I showed some of my relatives in Indiana some of the talked to them about some of the footage that we took with you and Aaron and Joe Bannister, Stuart Rhodes, and Abby Martin, others. And we actually made some headway around the Thanksgiving dinner tables and talking with some of the family elders about. They were bringing up some Christian points of family and unity, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And though I was not raised Christian, we all kind of came to agree that there is some sort of a spiritual warfare that is being conducted. And
sure, you can call it wavelength. I mean, they've proven that people know when someone's looking at them. They've proven that there is a sixth sense. They just don't understand it. So yes, there are unseen things going on.
And my sixth sense is very strong. And so when you talk about your spidey sense, I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't go into that with them. But there's, I think, kind of a central philosophy meeting point where many of your former guests, like Alfred Adask, Alan Watt, David Icke, Jordan Maxwell, Fritz Springmeier, would all kind of agree with an author of a book that I think would complement the InfoWars store very well. I heard an interview with him, and I won't plug the other radio show.
I don't care, man. Just what's the book?
Okay.
Here's the deal. I'm going to put you on hold. We don't screen your calls unless we're having a particular topic and we go, hey, are you on topic? But I may just start screening them because people want to be screened. They want to be screened, and they want to get on air and have a call screening with me on air, and it's become one of my pet peeves. I'm not trying to be mean here. It just really is starting to punch my buttons. Just tell me the name of the book. I don't need a big build-up or provisos. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I won't. Then I don't even need to mention it, but the book does explore. Well, that's all right. It wasn't my point, actually. My point is that 9/11 as a mass occult ritual was kind of the point of the book.
Hold on a minute. I want the book plugged. Here's the deal. I'm getting where I get really upset if things are totally illogical. You can call it neurotic, whatever you want. I don't understand. Am I a bad communicator? Because you come on and then you say, I don't want to plug something. And I go ahead. I want to know the name. What is it? Everyone listening does. And then you won't tell me. I appreciate your call. It's not meant to happen. Thank you very much for the call. I don't know what's going on with people, man. It's weird. Because I guarantee you wouldn't have given it to us. I mean, it's just like a dance thing. And I just won't. I guess we've got to implement crawl screening. Just because it's what they want. I mean, to really talk to him to see if, because he made a lot of good points, but the phones were open to talk about your take on 2012. So there's a dead ringer right there.
I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
Me up hardly on air, but I guess she was listening, and she said, that guy was a huge fan. You were mean to him. So I apologize to the last caller. But at the same time, I'm like, what's the name of the book? No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, offend you. And I'm like, you're not offending me. Just tell me the name. So it's not even that I'm mad at the last caller. I'm just so tired of people getting on air and going, is it okay if I talk about this? Is it okay if I talk about that? Man, you're on air. I know people lie and say that, we have fake phone callers and that you can't really call in. It's the opposite, folks. We have real phone callers. You can really call into this show. We got Bev Harris coming up here in just a moment, but let's go to Mike in California. Mike, on the 2012 topic, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I attended a preparedness seminar a couple months back, and they mentioned the great possibility of solar storms, which, like on InfoWars, right now, there is that great article. So, but interesting thing I heard was about the Mayan calendar and why they stopped creating it. Basically, the speaker was suggesting that the coming solar storm would be so strong that it changes the tilt of the Earth. So it's not that the end of the world as we know it is coming. It's that time will change as we know it. And which is why they stopped making the calendar, because it no longer fit into the timeline of the last few thousand years that they had predicted. And I guess with that, you know, the statement, a new age and a new phase begins, is less scary. Just, you know, be very prepared and don't be scared, right?
Well, exactly. What I'm saying is I don't think it's the end of the world. The Mayan prophecy is a new hearth. You know, one fire is put out, a new fire is built, even if you put stock in that. But the globalists themselves, they are running around digging in like it's the end of the world. They are building bases. They're doing all this. But most of it is designed for what looks like a nuclear war with Russia, China, or both. Great points. I appreciate your call. Shifting gears now into something that we know is going on. Bev Harris joins us. It's been a few weeks, obviously, since the election. She's with blackboxvoting.org. She is the preeminent election fraud expert out there. And we have one of the least transparent systems in the world. International advisors were here and said, we just can't believe people just trust the system. And she was on with us right after the election going over unprecedented anomalies. To paraphrase what she said, I wanted to recap it. She said she's never seen this much just open announcing states before any votes that day were counted. Just amazing things happening. So joining us to run down, now that we've got some time after the election for her to really be able to ferret around and investigate, she's got a lot of breaking news for us today. And I really appreciate Bev Harris taking time out to join us. And then we'll go back to your calls. Then we have guests in studio, folks. Bev Harris, thank you for coming on.
Oh, hi, Alex.
You've got the floor. Tell us kind of a recap and then what you've discovered since then.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's just still pouring in. But there's some very, very interesting statistical anomalies. Normally, I don't get too excited about stats because they can have a lot of assumptions behind them. But these are really interesting. It looks like they withheld hundreds of thousands of votes. Actually, nationwide, it was millions of votes from the original counts. Now, as you mentioned, they called the election before counting. But when they did release the initial counts, they had withheld millions of votes from that. And what's really interesting is now that they're getting those votes finally counted, there's a huge trend difference. For example, in some states, it's a 30% difference in the last set of votes versus the first set of votes, which, you know, why would that happen? If all these random people are voting, why would the delayed ones suddenly be voting for someone different? You know, and there are some also very interesting, difficult-to-explain anomalies that are affecting a number of different races and different ballot issues that kind of point to an algorithm in the voting machines or in the results reporting stuff, where basically an impossible pattern is appearing as you look at the data, indicate something that could not occur naturally, but does seem to be an impossible pattern. So kind of hard to explain that on the air without looking at the graphs and so forth, but very, very interesting and getting closer to proof.
Wow.
There's also some, you know, I just uncovered this weekend. I was trying to figure out, now, we had heard, you know, that the Bain spinoff, Romney-affiliated company, bought Hart Intercivic, a voting machine company. I had also heard that Warren Buffett had bought the World Herald in Omaha, which owns ESNS. But I found out that they had sold ESNS. So I thought, oh, well, maybe Warren Buffett, who's an Obama supporter, doesn't own the voting machine company that counted two-thirds of our votes. But then it's a little more complicated than that. It turns out that the Omaha World Herald may have sold the elections division to itself in another division. So I'm still running that down to see who actually owns these. But in the course of that, I uncovered a whole bunch of patent applications from election systems and software. And these things are as creepy as it gets. For example, they applied for a patent for technology that allows them to remove cast votes from the electronic poll books so that it would be that the person who has is recorded as having voted has not voted. That's a patent. Aren't we lucky? And another patent, even more interesting, they called it the poll worker control patent, which basically allows someone in a central office to gain control of the voting machine.
Unbelievable.
Just crazy stuff that's coming out.
But obviously, they developed these tools to be able to steal elections. They don't want somebody else taking their hard-earned tool.
They claim that there's a beneficial thing, like what if somebody accidentally puts a voter in the poll book and they really didn't vote. But that's fine. But look, you can also use it for the most evil purposes imaginable, and there it sits. So, yeah, they're patenting this stuff, and it's on the record. That's why it's unprecedented how in our face this is.
But let's go back to what the big bombshell you dropped days after the election, and I went and looked it up on your site. There was all the links and the online bibliography, the proof, where they were announcing states before they had counted any of the votes other than the absentee and early voting. And, you know, they announced Prop 37 before even a fraction of the votes were counted.
Right.
They're just setting
a... Prop 37 has impossible statistical anomalies now. It's one of the ones that I mentioned, these statistical studies that are really starting to bear fruit. One of them is done by a fellow named Francois Choquette out of Southern California. Prop 37 looks absolutely impossible from the way that the numbers are running.
Break down some of the facts on that.
Well, essentially, as you add more and more votes into the pool, the spread sort of evens out because, you know, like if you have 10 votes for this guy and 5 for this guy, then there's a certain spread. But if you have 1 million for this guy and 500,000 for this guy, it takes a lot of votes to make the spread change or the percentage of spread change. But what was happening in Prop 37 is the more votes came in, and we're talking millions and millions, the more the spread changed, favoring the favoring that they didn't want to know what was in their food. It's an impossible situation, and if you think about it, as you add more and more data to the pool, that spread is going to stabilize. But it didn't stabilize at all. It kept going. The more votes go into the pool, the more the percentage of spread changed. Impossible.
And instead of things getting better in the last few decades as the frauds become apparent, and even as the public poll show become aware of the fraud, instead of it being reversed, there seems to just be a bum rushing now to shake a tail feather in our face, hike a leg on us, to use, you know, that crude example, and just dominate us and let us know. I mean, next they may announce that, you know, that the Lucky Charms creature...
The leprechaun.
Yeah, the leprechaun is running things. I mean, it's...
Well, and let me tell you, you remember back in 2002, they put the Help America Vote Act through, which pushed all these electronic voting machines into it. Well, the son of Help America Vote Act, I call it, you know, Hava's baby, is already proposed in Congress. And guess what this one does? It offers cash incentives to states that basically remove the warm body from the vote. In other words, when you go into the polling place to vote, you can see, you know, oh, that's Alex Jones. He came into the polling place. Once you start casting your vote through the internet or through absentee, nobody knows. There's no warm body associated with that vote at all. So it could be anybody who put it in. Well, they're starting to offer cash. There's a bill in Congress to offer cash incentives to states to, quote unquote, streamline their voting system. And one of the things that will receive an incentive is to remove the warm body from the vote so that it can't be authenticated who put that vote in there.
Unbelievable. So they know we're waking up, so they're accelerating towards open, complete fraud.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's moving so fast now. And on the other hand, catching them in the act is moving faster and faster as well. You know, where we're starting to see the minute they get out of the gate, people start to see it.
But they're in control. What do you do when the criminals are in control and are in control of the law enforcement aspect?
Well, you just, look, truth doesn't go away. And we have to keep speaking truth, because more and more people in the public are starting to understand. The problem is that the public can't see what's going on. The problem is not some kind of cryptography or security or whether you have a paper ballot that's counted in secret whether you can't see. The whole thing boils down to, can the public see it or not? And once the public gets that, then however long it takes, the public will never not get that again. And when you start looking at other situations where there was a power imbalance, for example, women's suffrage, men controlled everything, you know, why would they give it up? But as truth continued to come up and women started to show the injustices that were being visited on them by legislation that they had no say in, it reached a tipping point and they got the rights. Now, that's the kind of thing where we have to keep saying, we demand it. We absolutely demand it, whatever it takes, however long it takes, because there's still more of us than there are of them.
There certainly are. And, you know, take the case of Austin, Texas, where I live. The county attorney a few weeks ago came out and admitted a close to decade-long investigation. I'd call that a decade-long whitewash. That even his predecessor had been engaged in, of the city of Austin having almost all their meetings in secret and then lying to the public about it. It's totally illegal. Mm-hmm. And he said, but if you say you're sorry and promise not to do it again, we won't prosecute you with all these different crimes. And it built up to the premeditation. It was really a felony. But the point is that they're still doing it. But there's the example. Citizens had their civil rights violated by that. Citizens should be suing the members of the city council. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. If the county, because, you know, the city won't do it to itself, won't do its job, because they're a bunch of globalists as well, well, then you've got to go after them in the court of public opinion. And even if you don't win the suit, at least you file suit. And there's a law, and anybody who lives here is a plaintiff, because your electoral system was robbed, and a lot of people are business owners. City council made decisions that were made in secret against you. Go after them. You know, it's time to get aggressive. And Bev, you've sued these people quite a bit and won time and time again.
Litigation wins. And listen, even if litigation doesn't prevail, think about this. In the civil rights era, they had to sometimes take the same issue to court multiple times in order to finally win. You know, it's not, we shouldn't just expect that, oh, you know, a lawsuit was filed and it lost. Oh, well, I'll go home. No, you have to keep pushing and keep pushing and never give up. And it's going to take as long as it's going to take. But the bottom line is, truth does eventually win in these large imbalances of power.
That's right. We have to find our fighting spirit again, because there is a spirit over a large part of the public to roll over to anything. But it's always been that way historically. There's always a large minority that does not want to be a slave, and we're fighting a much smaller minority of criminals.
Right. And slavery is a very good analogy, because what we're really looking at now is more subtle, but it's basically an electronic form of slavery where we are not having a say in the laws that govern us, which we pay for by our taxes. And the say that we should have, which controls that, has simply been hijacked electronically. So it's subtle, but people do get it. And I think as we change in terms of more young people are starting to grow into this, they're more familiar with computers and electronics, and they understand the risks more so than some of the older generation.
Well, I know this. Government corruption, thieving, stealing, it's admitted to be at all-time record highs. Now we're being told, you know, just give in to it. The system knows best. And the system can't even control itself. There are so many different criminal groups involved. They will bring the whole system down. People need to understand that, folks. We are bankrupt. The country is being taken over by foreign banks. We are being economically conquered, and it is a consortium of organized crime groups with high-tech public relations firms working for them who are drinking their own Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I think we have to understand that this is something that, oh man, I lost my train of thought. I never do that on your show, but I did. You had such great, you were so profound there. I was thinking, wow.
No, I'm not profound. You're profound. What are other key points? You were making a point about, you know, the awakening is happening. The polls show that. Your work the last 15 years or so, we've seen from, you've seen the polls, 10% thinking there's fraud over 90%.
I know what it is. You know, it's, you have to get public awareness. And even if all you achieve is talking about it so one more person gets it, that's how we get where we need to get. You know, that's how major change happens. It's not because necessarily some magic lawsuit or some one single great investigator. It's because there's an upswelling of understanding in the public. So we have to keep talking about this stuff and keep finding ways to frame it so the public understands what's happening to them.
I agree with you. In closing, any other key points that people should visit blackboxvoting.org to discover?
Well, I got to tell you, it is still just pouring in. I'm surprised at the velocity of this, the aftermath this time. It's more so than I've ever seen, really. And I think that there's, over the next month, 2 months, 12 months, there's going to be a lot of developments that are really pretty earth-shaking.
Well, please, because I don't want to just call you and get you on when you're not ready. Will you reach out to us, Bev, whenever you're ready to give us the big data dump?
Yeah, I will do. I mean, I think more information is coming out all the time, and maybe a lot of little data dumps might be more easy for people to absorb, but yeah.
Okay, we'll do that then. We'll call you then in a couple of weeks. Hope you had a great holiday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There goes Bev Harris. We'll be back with more of your calls and more news straight ahead. We've got amazing in-studio guests coming up as well. I'm Alex Jones. This is GCNLive.com. One of the big reasons we're in so much trouble is the private banking cartel that's been based in this nation and Europe for a long time. In 1947, under the name of fighting the Soviet threat that they'd actually helped put into power on record, congressional hearings came out decades later on that, they were able to get the National Security Act and just operate in total secrecy with just a tiny bit of congressional oversight and with unlimited funds. So, of course, it was started by very wicked predators, and it just got worse and worse from there on out. Now, more than 80% of activities by 15 agencies is conducted by private contractors that are given 007 license to kill power inside the U.S. They're just murdering, killing whoever they want. They're involved in every type of crime you can imagine. Murdering army inspectors that expose fraud. The list just goes on and on. And that's when you get societal breakdown, because the system can't even prosecute its own forces just to try to have good management. I mean, the globalists are evil, but their own management structure will break down because they can't even prosecute their own people, because that would then expose the corrupt system. And in the process, it's just going to get worse and worse. And that's how you have election fraud. I mean, you've had it with Diebold, you've had it with these other big companies, their own people have gone public and then mysteriously died, their engineers have testified to Congress and legislatures, and the media doesn't cover it. Because that same dominant media, CNN, MSNBC particularly, get government taxpayer money. You know, I talked about this in the first hour, how it's even in the back of newspapers that, oh yeah, hundreds of billions of dollars over the last decade, And now it's approaching that every year, is spent putting messages in media. And so that's why you see anti-gun, anti-family messages. When you see these anti-founding father, anti-liberty messages, pro-police state messages, you wonder why every cop show, the cops go, I'm violating the Bill of Rights. And they're like, good job, high five. And then it's the right thing to do it. You ever wonder why you see that in every cop show? Because it's paid for. It's total creepville. So cops sit there at home, you know, beat cops and go, someday I'll be a detective and get to violate the Bill of Rights and Constitution. And it's every movie I see about cops, because that's the message. You're being conditioned. You're being prepared. Now, I know that we've got Ryan and a lot of other people that are patiently holding there, and we'll jam you in before the next hour ends. But we've got folks here visiting us all the way from Europe and, I guess, New York that are going to be coming in at the five after. But I'll take and Catherine Albrecht's going to be on with us as well. We're going to chronicle the activities of Google here, and also to try to how to avoid that. Briefly, we had a sale for about 2 weeks that was the most popular we ever did, and folks are asking us to bring it back, and we have enough at the warehouse, I think, to be able to supply people through about December 10th and guarantee you get it before Christmas as a gift. You know, for $180-something, you can give somebody one of the best gravity-fed filters out there, the best, but it's one of a line they've got, the Traveler ProPure, at InfoWarsStore.com, and you can get 15% off on that. Right now, it's 10% off with the promo code WATER, but starting tomorrow, and I'll just have them change it now, promo code WATER15, just 1-5, 15% off the already lowest price anywhere. And we're going to have that sale run through December 10th because we've got enough. We've checked the warehouse. We've got enough to give you 15% off and then ship it all out in the week after the 10th so you get it before Christmas. But that special will run from now until the 10th of December, InfoWarsStore.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, let's continue here taking your phone calls. We've got incredibly special guests joining us in studio. We're going to go deep into the globalist rabbit hole with the facts. Ryan, Chris, and others, we're going to you. We got Ryan in Alaska watching us on PrisonPlanet.tv. Then we'll go to Chris in Florida, listening on 1340. Go ahead, Ryan, you're on the air.
Hey, are we still specifically on 2012?
Yes, sir.
Hey, well, when the whole Harold Camping rapture thing or whatever it was happened, there were cases of suicide and murder, and there is at least one woman who stabbed her daughter and then tried to kill herself or something like that. And 2012 has gotten a lot more coverage than that ever did, and I don't think there's any way we're not going to see civil unrest and some sort of mass suicide or something crazy.
Yeah, we'll
like
probably
that.
See some hail bop loons, you know, people with their little Nike tennis shoes or whatever. Unfortunately, I think you will see some of that, but I agree with you. I'm saying the whole thing's a hoax that the world's going to end.
Do you mind if I give you a suggestion real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Holiday season, and I know you like doing your funny spoof ads and all that kind of stuff. I think you and Mike Adams should get together and do a cover of Here Comes Santa Claus, but it's Here Comes Carbon Tax.
Here comes carbon tax, here comes carbon tax, riding down your lane, shutting down farmers, shutting down houses and factories too. He'll destroy America and make you slaves. It's going to be fun time too. Something like that.
Perfect. Yeah, the only second line I've been able to come up with so far is Al Gore's going to make gains. But Mike Adams is a pretty creative guy. I think he could do something good with it.
I tell you what, yeah, Mike's a talented individual. I count myself honored to know him. Why don't we have everybody email showtips@infowars.com the lines to Here Comes Carbon Tax, and I will, with the InfoWars caroling team, this probably sound like a group of howling dogs, at least I know I will, we will sing it to the music of Here Comes Santa Claus. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Forced inoculations.
And do you mind if I tell you one more thing?
Yes, go ahead.
The new Red Dawn movie, it's not as bad as the trailer and all the previews and all that kind of stuff make it look. And they use a stadium as a prison camp and a re-education camp. And I think it's a pretty good movie.
Well, you got to be accurate. I mean, that's what sports stadiums are for. That's why they get taxpayer funded. Why are you looking at me in Spalding? He's a regular pal. I'm sorry. Little Caddyshack line fell in there. I apologize. Since you got on the subject of humor. Great points, brother. Good to hear from you. Thanks for holding and putting up with me. All right. We got a WTAN 1340 listener. What is that in Tampa? Chris, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Thank you, Alex. Well, I wanted to encourage everyone to check out The Holy Science, the book by Swami Sri Yukteswar on the ages of 12,000-year cycles called yugas. And they're called, not yogas, but yugas. And he compares a lot of the unfoldment of history to and human understanding to these yugas and how they're 1,000-year-old science. So check out The Holy Science by Swami Sri Yukteswar. And, you know, those who really are so living in fear, I would just encourage to look at your dreams and your intuition, compare them with your friends. Maybe that would help you interpret what's happening and get a bigger picture by seeing, you know, what's happening with the people you associate with in their dreams. And don't be afraid to talk about what your intuition tells you.
Talking about your dreams, that sounds un-American.
Well, it's maybe a more Eastern idea.
No, I was being sarcastic.
Absolutely. If I could mention very briefly here, so it's so important, tomorrow people show up at the Pinellas County Commission at 2 o'clock p.m. for the water fluoridation vote that's being held again. And if someone doesn't want to speak, they can delegate their time to somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. You guys kicked the fluoride out to a million people in the town, in the county roughly, and now they're trying to bring it back.
Yeah, they are, and we just need an overwhelming majority this time. We're getting close, but we need to have more professionals if possible. And,
doctors and scientists. What time tomorrow?
That's 2 o'clock p.m., 315 Court Street, 5th floor assembly room in Clearwater.
Absolutely. The front line of fighting the globalists is getting the fluoride out of the water.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
And gentlemen, we are live, and we're going to go into the fourth hour of Overdrive today so we can open the phones up later with our guest here. In one case, the gentleman's traveled all the way here from the Netherlands to be in studio with us, and the other fellow from New York City. I've gotten over the years to get to know Catherine Albrecht, being on Jesse Ventura's show with her and, you know, interviewing her, I don't know, going back 13, 14 years ago when she was first starting to fight for consumer privacy. And since then, she's become one of the leading experts on it, writing best-selling books. And says she's now gotten a doctorate at Harvard, helping expose what's happening. But startpage.com, and yes, I use Startpage. Because it does allow you to surf without the NSA that runs Google tracking everything that you're doing. And this is not an infomercial today. I mean, they do sponsor us a little bit in the magazine and on the site some, but they're here because they were coming to the United States and we're going to be able to come. And so they're here in studio with us to cover a host of issues. And then again, later we'll put some headphones on them and take some of your questions and comments from the audience out there. But what a better time. I couldn't think of one to get into the NSA refusing to release secret Obama directive on cybersecurity. Order allows military takeover of the internet. And the UN couldn't help but brag last week. This was in the Associated Press, and also it was reported on. The New American did a great report on it, that the UN's bragging, oh, under the new system, they'll have the DNS numbers and they'll have control of the website registration, basically. And again, I'm no tech guy, but I have a lot of great tech people and I read what the experts are saying. Even CNET News, that is CBS division, and Declan McCullough and others have reported the Cybersecurity Act, the public one, is Russian or Chinese-style net censorship. Remember 2 years ago in Australia, the headlines there were Chinese-style net censorship, where they just shut you down if they want to. So this is the world we're going into. Internet IDs, the list goes on and on. And I wanted to show TV viewers, if they're out there watching us, some of these articles that I've gotten together here just to show you some of the things that are happening. Court rules that Google NSA spy ties can remain secret. Again, that is a story out of USA Today. Well, I've been telling you for a decade, when Google was set up 13 years ago, it's come out from my CIA sources. It is the NSA. It's not ties. They're at military bases. That's why they're allowed to do stuff nobody else can do. Google lied about stealing passwords, emails, but didn't break the law, the media claims. Again, continuing here, Google engineers knew for 2 years that the company's Street View cars were stealing emails and passwords via Wi-Fi. Just came out months ago, they've been breaking into people's computers, despite their privacy settings. I mean, this is a very wicked group. Here's another one. Google privacy settlement with FTC wins court approval. And it just goes on and on. Google government surveillance report stirs privacy, free speech worries. Campaigns, use of support data, supporters' data worries privacy advocates. And again, if you go to a Bilderberg Group conference and cover it, it's all Google and NSA people at them, because they talk about over the horizon, being able to predict the future, tracking people in real time, knowing what you're buying, what you're selling, what your medical issues are. Because when you ask the Oracle of Google, it's not just giving you information, it's finding out what you're doing. It's like when Gandalf's talking to Saruman, he walks in and goes, you can't use one of these crystals. We don't know who else is looking. And he throws the, you know, the black silk back over it, and Sauron's sitting there looking. Well, that's what's happening. That's who's looking back out of you through your computer. So that's just some of the news here. But we now have all of this happening while government at the same time tries to restrict our free speech. We also have Catherine Albrecht, who's going to be with us again. I was just mentioning that for this hour. And if she can do it, she may have to leave us a little bit into the next hour. And again, Robert Beans is the CEO, a privacy visionary for nearly a decade, the CEO of startpage.com. Robert Beans has had a dream, how to return freedom, privacy, and security to the internet. This dream has turned IxQuick and StartPage into the world's most private search engine, and now the biggest private search engine. And Robert continues to blaze new trails to make using the internet even more secure. Robert holds a master's in Dutch law with an emphasis on corporate and social studies. Privacy is a fundamental right and the basis of free society. We believe you should be able to enjoy the internet without giving up that right. And that's a statement by Robert Beans, CEO of startpage.com. And David Bodick is the founder, security, and a technical expert. And David is a seasoned software architect and extensive privacy and security expertise. Bodnick. Thank you. And continuing here, we got Catherine Albrecht, who already introduced. Guys, it's great to have you here with us in studio today. I don't know where to begin, but whoever wants to jump in first can do it. Then we'll bring Catherine in. What is your take just on them going from denying their spying when you guys started out exposing this a decade ago or more to now it's just in your face? The head of Google, Schmidt, says, yeah, we're watching you. You shouldn't do something if you don't want us watching you. Well, I mean, how about we go look at what's hit, you know, in his house? What would you say about the state of where we are today?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks a lot for inviting us, Alex. It's a great pleasure to be on your show. Startpage.com is a privacy search engine. Means that it's a general search engine like Google, Yahoo, or Bing, but with one big difference. We focus on safeguarding the privacy of our users. Allow me to go into a little bit of a history of how that became the situation. We have been in existence since 1998, founded in 1998, and a couple of years later, we did a legal audit into the risks of the liabilities of the company. And one of the elements of that audit was we looked at what we were storing, what elements, what personal details were we storing, because there's a liability in Europe. Privacy is very important, and I wanted to have an overview. We found out that we were storing the searches, the actual search queries, the IP addresses. We were storing the time and date that people were doing searches, the searches they clicked on. Basically, we were building a database of users' personal information, and we didn't use it at all. It was just done because technically it was possible. Finding out that we did, that really set off a shock, because we had no knowledge. Of course, the technical people had the knowledge, but they didn't use it. And
so basically, you had to invent a whole system just to be able to not spy on people.
Correct. Because the standard is that it's all available and it's all being stored because it's free and it's cheap to to store that stuff.
And that's the real value for people that want to snoop.
Absolutely. But that really changed our whole thinking. And then we said it was a shock to us. And we said, well, this is not the way we want to do it. We're endangering people's privacy. You can't do that. You got to get rid of the data. So we took a 180 degrees turn that we've taken from the heart, and we went into the nitty gritty details of making sure that we really safeguard people's privacy. We don't keep anything. We don't track. We keep no data, no personal data at all. And what's also very important is that you don't leak, because you can yourself not build a database. But if you leak it to some other parties that do, that's just as bad. So the devil is in the details with privacy, and we went the whole long way. We also got certified by an independent third party in Germany, which is an organization that's sponsored by the European Union, and that gives us trust. First, we got search done, because it's extremely important. People in the street can just search without being tracked. You can get to the information. And once we got that done right, we went to the next item we thought was really important, which is proxy. So now you can't just search for information, but you can also go to search results. And under each search result, you'll see the word proxy. And by clicking on the proxy, you can now load the information, and we will load the information of the website you were trying to proxy into our systems, and they will only see us. And then we show you that information, but without you being tracked and traced.
And then you flush it. Now, I know you're based in Europe. What are you guys going to do about the fact that under the cybersecurity they couldn't get passed, but now Obama's just doing by executive order and then telling Congress that's secret? They want to make the big IT companies save all the data. So now it's not just that they were stealing it. Now they're going to say, oh, government, because you know Google helped write it, they brag, make us save it. Make it legal by ordering us to do it.
Yeah, I think that is a huge U.S. problem. The good thing about it is we're in the Netherlands.
No, I agree. Yeah, in fact, we're moving our servers. We already have to Europe mainly.
The Patriot Act, for instance, is not applicable in the Netherlands. We don't fall under the Patriot Act. So that's a great thing for startpage.com users.
And by the way, we've already moved half our servers to safe havens in Europe as well. Okay. We just have to do it because we have a criminal group that's taken over here. Anyways, I'm ranting. Keep going.
No, maybe Catherine wants to comment a little bit further on.
Yeah, we're about to go to break, and when we come back, we'll go to Catherine Albrecht. Just great having you guys. In the 30 seconds we have, I'm honored to get you here. Thanks for coming to visit us in Austin.
Appreciate it. It's our pleasure to be here, Alex.
Is this your first time in Austin?
It is.
Do you like it?
A lot. People have been extremely friendly all over.
How long you been here?
Less than 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, I wish you guys weren't blasting off again immediately, and I'd have time to... And plus, we're going to interview for the TV show, but I think we'll dole it out, do an interview tonight, and then air it sometime next week. We're going to come back, get Dr. Catherine Albrecht's take on this, and we'll also continue to go through a whole list of things that you guys, you know, think is most important. And we'll also continue to look at the technicals of what's happening with our guest as well. In fact, we'll talk to David when we come back. I'm Alex Jones. The website's Infowars.com, but you know that. What about StartPage.com? Isn't that evil that you could go search and not be tracked? Joined by Catherine Albrecht, who's there with us. We're just messing with some technical stuff on our end. And we are joined here by David Bodnick and Robert Beans. Robert Beans is CEO in studio of StartPage.com. David Bodnick is the founder and, I guess, creator of the technology. David, we haven't talked to you yet, and there's some points you guys are saying that's very important for people to understand technically. Take it away. I mean, things you think the public needs to understand and know. There was a point you were trying to explain to me during the break.
Right. It's all about the filter bubble, a phenomenon first described by Eli Pariser in a video in a book, the quest for relevance on the internet, it's going after things you like and then doing the personalization, that's what it's all about. That personalization is, of course, because it's the money. The money is in there. And it's also because the geeks who have been developing all this, they want efficiency, so they go for relevance. But by trying to get to relevance, they'll personalize everything, and they're trying to make everything personalized. How do they do that? That the only way is by tracking you, by building huge databases in which...
And that's the cover, claiming they're profiling you so they can customize things for you. But really, studies show they're using the data to customize you. They find out how to hit your buttons and convince you that you're actually making these decisions, when really they have a detailed psychological algorithm to be used and deployed against you.
Right. And they're making more money of it. There's a phenomenon that is the result, because they're filtering the results you're seeing online and what you see online, slowly taking away chips of what you used to see and putting you in a bubble effectively. So you get to see less of what you didn't like and more of what you liked and more of what you already clicked on. So
it allows people to segregate themselves in their own little niches.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. And for instance, if you do a search for Egypt, I do a search for Egypt, they'll show you different search results than they'll show me. And that's a phenomenon not many people know. We know we've been tracked and followed by ads all over the place because we search for stuff. But we don't know that also the normal results are being filtered out.
So it's creating micro realities and feedback loops for what our already cloistered false reality was.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So you're getting less and less objective information and news, which is an extremely scary situation. It's contrary to the original dreams of the internet. It's dangerous. It also sets up, it borders censorship, but it definitely sets up for manipulation.
And by the way, that's not your opinion. They've had all the real inventors of the internet, more than several dozen of them, come out and go public and say the web is now authoritarian. Maybe we can pull some of those articles up. Inventor of web says web now authoritarian. You know, we're in trouble. Look out. I mean, this is not your opinion.
It's not my original opinion, I got to admit.
No, but I mean, I meant that like people are backing you up.
Absolutely.
And actually, you guys are trailblazers. How long ago did you guys start getting, you started talking about the embryonic beginnings of this, but, you know, how did you end up meeting David? David, how did you get involved? Because you guys were way ahead of the curve on this.
Right. Originally, StartPage and Ixquick were not privacy search engines, and there was a real turn about 6 years ago, where that became the entire focus of the company.
When the lawyers were trying to make it actually follow the law.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we've actually, there's actually a lot of little details that go into trying to avoid the tracking and trying to prevent us from even being able to know anything about what's being searched for. We don't store log files. We don't have log files. So if somebody comes and says, we want to see all information about searches about this, and this, we don't have it.
And see, that's indentured servitude. If they pass the Cybersecurity Act, which Obama couldn't get passed, it says, I've got to save everything. I don't want to save people's IP addresses. I don't want, number one, I don't want to pay for all that data, and I don't want the liability of having to save it. I mean, we want to delete it right when it comes in.
And even if you trust somebody who's saving all sorts of data on you right now, who's to say that they're going to be the only people with access to that now and in the future?
Exactly. It allows the breach. Stay there. Riveting stuff, folks. We're going deep inside Big Brother and how to defeat it with the heads of StartPage.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. I'm here in space. I'm looking down on you.
So the CIA, the NSA, then I'll say, yeah, we're tracking everything you do. Yeah, we're watching your kids at home with the school-issued laptops. Yeah, the Department of Defense is running programs in schools all over the U.S. where kids wear tracker chips around their neck even when they leave school. Yeah, we're going to expel you if you don't accept it. Yeah, AI computers watch what your kids eat and file reports with the Pentagon on them. CBS News, San Antonio. It's all beyond 1984. All over the country. They've put in IntelliStreets. That's just one company. There are dozens of companies with streetlights, with hidden cameras and microphones, all wired in, all paid for with our taxpayer money. And they're saying, oh, yes, be sure and go to Google and use it. Well, let me tell you, if you're going there about medical information, they know. If you're going there about marital problems, they know. Or if you're going to what movies you're going to see or what books you're going to read. And we saw this a couple years ago where Kindle erased thousands of titles off people's Kindles they'd paid for. And then people see the titles like 1984 and they go, well, I was able to download that. Well, yeah, there were lawsuits over it. Now you can get it again. The point is they did delete them. So I'm all for the digital age, except when there's not a hard copy, when there's not a print 2.0, and you're up on the cloud, they can erase everything. So I want to talk to you guys about that, too. I know that isn't what Startpage is into right now, but you know, we need to have this stuff backed up ourselves. If we own it, it's our copy. We need to be able to do this. And we're joined by the CEO, the head of Startpage.com, Robert Beans, and David Bodnick, also the founder and creator of much of the amazing software. And it really is a great site. And from what I've researched, whenever I go, look, you're right there when people search for alternative, you know, privacy search page or proxy surfing. And I've seen some of the numbers. Am I right in saying you guys are now the biggest in the business? I mean, there's a couple other, I guess, competitors, but they don't even seem to show up on the radar screen.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And we were talking before about some of the technical details that are really necessary to think through and focus on to deliver private search. One other area is encryption. So that because if you're searching through HTTP, usually even if you think that you're only talking with the search engine that you're talking with, all of that information can be recorded by your ISP and by other parties along the way, and it could fall into the wrong hands. And so what we do with Startpage is that we use HTTPS by default so that all of the search requests are encrypted. It just can't be read by anybody else. It's directly between your computer and our computer, and nobody in between can listen in. And another thing that we do, for example, is that if you click on a result, we arrange it so that the site you're going to doesn't see what you've searched for. Because usually if you do a search and then you click on a result, the site you've seen sees exactly what search term you have been looking for. So we make it so they can't see anything that you've searched for.
Well, that's the answer, is for people to take this in their own hands. And I know it's been extremely popular. So yeah, that's the best thing. Do the right thing and become successful. Amazing. There's so many other points we're going to go over, and I've got a laundry list of questions that I want to discuss here as well today with our guests. But let's bring up now, and we're going to go into overdrive into the next hour as well and open the phones up at that time, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, privacy expert and spokesperson for Startpage.com. Catherine is a respected privacy expert, researcher, and activist, and the U.S. spokesperson for Startpage, Ixquick, and Startmail. Catherine regularly reports on breaking news in the privacy arena, and she's a huge fan of InfoWars. I hadn't even read this yet, that here's my Startpage from their bio site, and it says InfoWars. Catherine holds a doctorate in consumer education from Harvard University. Privacy is more than just our business. It's our passion. Catherine Albrecht. And she's also recently, praise God, her cancer, I think, is in remission. Last time I heard, her breast cancer. And so she joins us via video Skype. And Catherine, always great having you on with us. And I'm flattered that these guys came to visit me all the way from New York and the Netherlands.
Well, hey, Alex, it's so good to be on your show. And I got to tell you, I really love working with Robert and David and the whole team there at StartPage. It's really wonderful to meet people who care this much about privacy, but have the ability to actually put it into action. And so I'm delighted that they're there in the studio. I'm so glad that they're getting to know the InfoWars audience and vice versa. And I just think it's a wonderful thing that they're there in Austin.
Well, it's exciting having you here with us. I mean, I know you've been chomping at the bit the last 20 minutes sitting there on hold while we were fixing a technical issue. Things you'd like to add to what they've said and other things people should know and understand, because here I am assaulting Google. And obviously, you know, we all end up using Google one way or another. Their goal is to become the web. But now it's even worse than I thought 10 years ago, where they're just an NSA front spying on everything, hacking your computers and not getting in trouble. Just amazing.
Well, and you know, you've experienced some of this too, Alex. I know YouTube is now totally owned and controlled by Google. The other thing people need to be aware of is it's not just the searches, but it's also people's email through Gmail. So one of the reasons why I think it's so exciting what's being done over there at StartPage, and I'm, of course, part of the company now, is that they're working on private email as well. And so when you look at the big picture, and I think this has really been Robert's vision for the company, is really saying where are the choke points for privacy? Where is it that there are things that we all need, that we all want access to, whether it's, you know, quick answers to our questions through search, whether it's the ability to log on through any kind of a device and know that you're encrypted and you're not being observed, the proxy, so you can actually go to other websites, even maybe questionable websites that might be spying on you or putting tracking cookies on your browser. You can go there with the proxy. And then, of course, nowadays, with all the big story about Petraeus and their Gmail accounts being looked at, you know, if you say
amazing,
the head of
the CIA director is being spied on. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Isn't that crazy? You got the head of the CIA who can't even keep his own email private. So clearly, if Petraeus can't do it, then the average person out there can't do it either. And that's the big exciting frontier now for StartPage, is coming out with StartMail, which will be the world's most private email. So I think, you know, we're always looking at where are those points where people's privacy is invaded, and what are the needs? What are people doing on a day-to-day basis? So we've got a new app coming out for mobile devices, all of the ways that the internet is a moving target. And the other thing that you mentioned earlier in the interview that I think is so important is all of this new cybersecurity law that's being contemplated. There's a vote coming up this week, as I'm sure you and your listeners have been discussing, that could potentially give the government access to your email without a warrant. So when you look at that and you say, wow, we in the U.S. are really under attack. We are under attack by our own government. We're under attack by the big marketers and the corporations. And what I love about StartPage, and what I will love about StartMail when it's available, is being based over in Europe. Let's say that there was a Patriot Act request or a subpoena or a warrant. There would be really no way that a U.S. court would be able to access any information off of StartPage or StartMail for a couple of reasons. Number one is they don't have jurisdiction. They would have to actually go to a Dutch court and get Dutch permission, which is virtually impossible. And even if they did, once they accessed the servers, there would be literally nothing on them. So no record made of anyone's IP address, no record made of what you search for. In fact, StartPage wouldn't even be able to say definitively either way whether you'd ever access their website at all. So that's the part that I think is so awesome.
And I've got it up on screen. It's a CNET story from Yahoo. Senate bill rewrite lets feds read your email without warrants. Remember Bush just 6 years ago? He'd say, I promise, we're not reading your email. We would never do that. It's illegal. Only Al-Qaeda. And then now it's just, yeah, everything you do, we're watching it. Get used to it. What do you think, Catherine, the change in attitude is really all about?
I think it's because people haven't pushed back. I think that's really what it is. Back when 9/11 happened and you were on top of things long before then, I was listening to your show back in the 90s, literally, so I know you knew about this. But a lot of people didn't. You know, they didn't believe when you were up there at the microphone saying, hey, listen, they've already got legislation written. They're just waiting for the perfect excuse to implement it. And then along comes 9/11 and boom, all of a sudden they have this Patriot Act pre-written, all, you know, how many reams of paper that thing took. They just pulled it out of a drawer ready-made and went, oh, here's the solution. So I think what it is people have gotten used to the security state. We're used to being nakedized at the airport. We're getting used to being tracked on our jobs. I think people are getting used to, or trying to get kids used to, being tracked in schools. And I really think that they're saying now's the time to push the envelope. I don't buy it, though. I really do believe, especially seeing the growth of StartPage, which is now the biggest privacy service on the entire internet. You know, there's a huge clamor for this. People don't want to be spied on.
Exactly. And take the Hernandez. Take the Hernandez family in San Antonio that you've helped so much and that we've covered here at InfoWars. When we were first covering that, no media attention, broke a huge coverage, and then they expel the little girl for not wearing a tracker chip that followed her on the bus and when she went home, and then it becomes a national story, and then the court strikes down the school. Now there are other kids revolting en masse, and then it turns out this all happened before in 1999 in Louisiana, where they kicked one little girl out, again a little girl, who wouldn't wear just a barcode, and then the whole school revolted. It's the same story. You're always alone up front, but you've got to do the right thing. And know this, even if you don't win in your own personal fight, the fighting spirit is what will win. You guys want to comment, Robert, David, on the points that Catherine just made and I've just made?
Yeah, I think Catherine is absolutely right. I just wanted to comment on databases, because databases are so huge. You have large databases maintained by Amazon, by Google, by Facebook, immense piles of personal data. But there's also commercial databases. And I learned about a company called Axiom. Actually, it's in Conway in Arkansas that maintains a massive database, apparently the most massive database, commercially speaking, in the U.S. It's believed they track 1,500 personal data points. And they have 97% of the U.S. citizens in that database. Just after 9/11, to give you an example of how powerful they are, the government agencies were trying to come up with information about the hijackers, and they turned to that company Axiom for help. They found out that Axiom knew more than the combined government agencies on 11 of the 19 hijackers. An unbelievable story. Talk about scary.
Well, also, I'm sure you guys have read about this, because here I am using the NSA search engine right now, and I do use StartPage at home. My wife uses it, but I'm publicly using Google just because I know still the general public has become habituated, totally addicted to it, to show people. But here it is. Google invest in app that predicts the future. But that's only one story. For many years, they've been able to predict mass movements with over 90% accuracy. That's what they're telling us. And they now admit it's, here it is right out of Wired Magazine, that they want to be able to tell the future. It says apparently Google can predict the future. And, of course, then there's fraud in this. They can just say that, then people believe it, and then that affects their choices via a bandwidth or a bandwagon effect. You guys have any comments on that?
Well, you can question yourself, why is Google able to do that? It's simply because the masses are still using it to a large extent. I flew in yesterday. I was in Austin waiting for my connecting flight. You look around and you see at least 50, maybe 60% of people, they're using mobile devices. So they're feeding their personal data into those databases. They're willing to feed those databases. Without databases, without personal details, they can't do anything.
In fact, we'll punch this up. Here we are on Google, on the NSA, and then you can just click right here and go to startpage.com. And we do need to get everybody to habituate to using StartPage, because as things get worse and worse, people have got to move away from Google. I mean, when you first came on, I read that laundry list. It's more than that. And I want to get Catherine's take on this, but also want to get David Bodnick's take on this, because you're a software engineer expert on this. I've studied it, though, and I remember being told by David Steele and others that Google wasn't started by the CIA. They are the CIA, and that's why they're allowed to do stuff with copyright nobody else can do. That's why they're able to, not get in trouble for years driving around with mobile trucks, cracking your code, breaking into your computer. I mean, if I did that, it'd be 10 years in jail. So who is Google from your research, gentlemen? And I want to get Catherine's take on that.
Well, and I just want to add that it's not just Google. You know, it's Google's the easy and obvious target because it's the default on everybody's search engine. You open up your brand new device and there's Google right there. They pay for that placement. But there's also Yahoo and Bing, and they're all doing it. And in fact, one of the big developments just in the last couple of months, and I know your listeners are aware of this, is that Microsoft just did the same kind of oneness policy with its Hotmail accounts that Google did a couple of months back with its Gmail accounts. And that's to say, any email that you write or receive to or from a Hotmail account now is going to be grabbed by Microsoft. And
it's worse than that. To have a YouTube account, you basically have to have the Google Mail now. And to use their other platforms, you have to have it. And then they're tracking, confirming your identity. That's the beginning of the global web ID, where they can then turn off your web access.
So I think the bigger question is even less how did they get started, but what are they right now? And what Google and Yahoo and Bing, all the search engines have become, is really a honeypot, sort of a lure to get people to log on multiple times a day and say, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm cooking for dinner. Here's my doctor's name. Here's the medical condition I'm concerned about. Here are my financial data, because we all type it in, bankruptcy information or looking for a new job or, rather than make a reservation to a restaurant, we just type the name of the restaurant in and expect the search engine to give us the information back. And what people need to realize is that those search engines are not in the business of altruistically giving you answers for free. They're not Big Brother government, Big Sister helping you. They're corporations. And if
you
they
mean
can
the
get
government
you,
doesn't love me and Google doesn't?
They love your information, I'll tell you that. And the problem is once this stuff gets collected, regardless of who collects it, it's going to be a target. And we know that because the Chinese government, we believe, hacked into Gmail accounts and into Google systems so that they could target and identify people who were activists against them.
Oh, yeah, they're
so
being
they
given access. That's the cover that they hacked
clearly
in. And at the same time, again, these back doors are not just in the software or just in the sites. They've been hardwired into the devices themselves. I mean, this is a premeditated technocratic takeover. David, comments on what you're hearing here.
You know, one thing that a lot of people don't really appreciate immediately is that the information from various sources really builds over time. So you put one search in and you think, oh, this search is nothing. You send one email and you think this email is nothing. But over 10 years and 15 years, when you really have information from thousands and thousands of searches that you're doing and tens of thousands of emails that you're sending and you're receiving and clicking on different websites and visiting different websites and the tracking.
Google knows you better than yourself because you consciously lie to yourself. It has the entire psychological map.
It's really amazing how detailed that information is collectively, even though you don't realize that one piece at a time, it builds into a mountain.
I want to come back to that, David, with Catherine Ahlberg. I'm going to do the whole next hour in overdrive if you guys will do it. We'll see if Catherine can, and I promise, open phones. I know we've got people loaded on the last subject, and I apologize to them, but we're going to open the phones coming up in the next segment for the fourth hour. I'm going into overdrive. It's InfoWars.com. Said many times, but I want listeners to think about this. Think of what all the authoritarians of the last century, Stalin, Hitler, all those guys, what would they have done? How would they have used the technologies that have been deployed? And notice how we were lied to when folks warned about all this in the last few decades. We were told, oh, that would never happen. Now that it's in place, now that people are habituated, now that it's a habit, now that it's accepted, they go, yeah, we're watching you. By the way, we might disappear you. By the way, we might fire you for your views. We might take your kids, so you better shut up. The answer is don't roll over to these authoritarians. The answer is get back in their face. Catherine Ahlberg's our guest, the founder and the CEO of StartPage are here. Robert Beans, the CEO, David Bodnick, founder. He's here with us, security and technical expert, and, of course, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. We're going to do a whole hour of Overdrive coming up and take your calls specifically on IT questions. The toll-free number, and by IT, about privacy, about start page, about all this, 800-259-9231. So we're going to clear the phones out. Sorry to those we didn't get to on the other subjects. And we're going to open the phones up for everybody now, specifically if they want to talk to startpage.com, CEO, their head technical founder, Ann Catherine Albrecht, a great political mind and researcher in her own right, 800-259-9231, as we get ready to start the next hour live into Overdrive here, the fourth hour. But during the break, Robert, you were making points about, hey, yes, we know this is going on. The answer is get away with it. Vote with your actions. So please continue. And then I want you to continue, David.
Oh, that's exactly what I was saying, Alex. It's extremely important. People vote with their actions because, of course, they need to be informed first. Ignorance is our biggest enemy. If people don't know what's going on, they have no way to respond to it. You are extremely well at informing them, letting them know what's out there, what's going after them. It's our duty, we see it as our mission, to come up with products, first search, then the proxy, and next year we'll add private and secure email to that, to give back those tools to the general public, to make them get off the grid where they're being traced and tracked. And I think that's extremely important, that people are informed and the alternatives are there, and we'll continue to build them.
David, you got interrupted by the break. You were making the point about, and you never got to finish, all these thousands of searches, everything you're doing, the choices you make on those sites. I mean, what is this doing?
It's really incredible, the volume of information that is collected from you. In one piece of information doesn't matter, two pieces don't matter, but the profiles that are built up on you over a dozen years from every place you look on the internet it's really unbelievably detailed. And sometime back, America Online made a big cataclysmic error in judgment, and they released information just about the searches they were tracking to researchers. And of course, this got out to everybody, and they tried to make this anonymous by giving everybody a number instead of saying this is who you are. And people were able to look at that and figure out who a lot of those individuals were just by looking at the combined searches they had.
Wow, I want to get Catherine Albrecht's take on that and more of your take when we come back, and then phone calls. But, I mean, here's an example. Your wife has a miscarriage. She goes to look up the information. Your parents, your family don't know. But the government and thousands of corporations that buy that data, they all know about your personal life, or if you have a disease, whatever the case is, what religion you are, what you're thinking about. We'll be right back.
Visit GCNlive.com today.
We are on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We're living on the edge.
So we do live in a 1984 squared world when it comes to surveillance. They haven't started all the physical secret arrest, all the mass murder yet. That part we've not reached yet, but the tools and the control grid, the arms build up physically is there. And here's some good news. Business Insider, Supreme Court says it's okay to record cops in Illinois. Again, there's still some good things. The Supreme Court's going to reuptake the Obama healthcare thing. Obviously, if it tells churches, Catholic, you name it, Protestant, you've got to pay for abortions, obviously that's a violation of their First Amendment. The media is so dumb, they're calling it their free speech. The First Amendment is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, then of the press or the people to write, you know, to peacefully assemble for a redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment, not just your free speech. It's your religion. So they're calling it on a free speech issue. It's on a First Amendment issue. Congress shall make no law. You cannot do this. But it's a side issue, just some breaking news there. Catherine Albrecht is our guest, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Also, Robert Bean, CEO of StartPage.com. And we're also joined by their founder and security technical expert, David Bodnick. David, it is so good to have you here with us. I've been ranting and raving here. Before I go back to Catherine Albrecht here, when we come back from the next break and some stations join us, continuing along the points that you and Robert were just making about how incredible this is. You know, the government, the media says, now, well, what do you have to hide? First, oh, we're not spying on you. We're not. This isn't Nazi Germany. And now it's, well, what do you have to hide? Well, I mean, I got bedroom walls. Not that I'm hiding something, but, you know, at Thanksgiving, I had family in. We closed the door. I mean, this is our house. You got your house. And I want privacy. I mean, that's a fundamental human need. I mean, sometimes I go in the study and close the door for my family. I'm not hiding something. I want to be alone. Comments on that?
Yeah, it's true. And just recently, there's been all this discussion about mobile phones and how private is the information on your phone. If you're doing searches on your phone, and right now lots and lots of people use their smartphones for searches, and there are a lot of law enforcement people who believe your mobile phone is. It's out in public, so you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy, even for certain.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's your notepad, it's your diary, it's the most personal thing. Studies have shown people keep it by their bedside, but they're now grabbing it at checkpoints and downloading everything on it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
keep going. I'm glad you raised that. This guy keeps raising all the points. I want to find that. I'm at startpage.com. I'm going to search that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just really scary. And we're talking about no need for a warrant. Even just somebody can they stop you. They can take a look at it, download that data, and is that really personal? And your location 24 hours a day. They say they claim this is the
look how good it works, guys. Punch up startpage.com. I'm only interrupting to direct them. Look, it's the first thing I wanted came up. I typed in police take cell phone data. Michigan police use cell phone data extraction devices without warrants. ABC News, News One, Raw Story, CNET News, and the cops literally at checkpoints just download your phone and say all your numbers, your photos, your data. That's not personal. Those photos of your kids at Little League, that's not personal. I mean, this is a joke. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Go ahead.
Right, and then in terms of knowing exactly where you've been 24 hours a day, they say this information on the location isn't your personal information. It's not private, they say. It is. It's the third-party data of a cell phone company.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to ask my listeners to habitualize, and I'm going to do it. Because, I mean, once you get in the habit, you're so enslaved to it. I said in our house in the country, no wireless, but we let it back in. Now we've unplugged it again. I've said we're not going to use Google, but I'm so habitualized.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Want it, you got it. A whole hour of Dr. Catherine Albrecht and the amazing founder and CEO, both men here in studio all the way from the Netherlands in Europe. My mom's going to go visit the Netherlands again with my dad. She just loves it. I can't wait to go over there. I've been to Europe and been to England. I've never been to the Netherlands. That's my mom's favorite country over there. He joins us, Robert Beans, also David Bodnick, the founder and security and technical expert, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, startpage.com. And yes, what we're trying to get you to do is to become aware of what's happening. And yes, they're a small sponsor over the years, but all sponsors are important. Now, they sponsor InfoWars Magazine, and they also sponsor some on the site, but I've got them here. I mean, this is not a sponsored interview today, to really promote this, because I was talking to him, I guess, about a month ago on the phone. I was talking to Robert, and I think you were on the line too, right, David? And I was like, you know what? Next time you're in the U.S., come on down to Austin. And they called a few weeks later and said, all right, we're coming. And so here they are. I'm flattered. And it's very, very exciting. Going to treat you guys to some Texas barbecue after the show. But to make a long story short, I mean, it's good to have something that we can do instead of just laying down to this. And you guys have been around for a long time. You're expanding and your search just gets better and better and better. In fact, I like a lot of the results I get from you guys even better than what I get with a standard Google search. I want to go to Dr. Catherine Albrecht before we go to callers, because in between my big mouth and then all three of us, there's not a lot of time for each person. But if you just joined us, David just brought up during the break, hey, look at how the police pull you over now and grab your cell phone and say it's not your private data and download the contents without a warrant. I mean, the First Amendment is important, but what about the fourth? That you should be secure in your person, papers, and effects, and that your home should be secure. In fact, let's pull up the Fourth Amendment on screen, perhaps. But if you go to startpage.com and simply type in police take cell phone data, First News, ABC News, Michigan police use device to download cell phone data without warrants. And then we showed the other headline earlier, where Senate bill allows reading your email without a warrant. See, they know that we're waking up to them engaging in all these crimes. So now they're retroactively trying to get it all legalized. Before we go to Dr. Catherine Albrecht on this, David, anything else you'd like to add? Robert, things you'd like to add on the points I've been raising?
You know, the one other thought is that I think there's a huge difference between people saying that they're going to act respectfully and treat your data privately and actually standing behind that and doing it. So, for example, at StartPage, we have audits where we are audited by a third party that says, yes, you are doing exactly what you're saying you're going to do, so that it's not a matter of trust in one person or one company, no matter how good and virtuous they might seem, but there's something to really stand behind that.
You mean I can't trust Apple that admittedly runs the worst slave factories in China and has suicide nets around them?
Right.
But exactly. I mean, Al Gore's liberal. I mean, he said if I pay him carbon taxes, he'll save me from global warming.
And for people and companies that you trust, you might trust them now, and other people might get access to that information or get involved with those organizations. So it's just so important to be able to have that accountability that's not just an "I promise I'm doing this," but somebody saying, "Yes, you're doing what you said you are," and holding you accountable.
You're right. I'm going to punch up the text of the Fourth Amendment. I've got it up on my screen right here. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. So let me see. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, that means, you know, a notepad you're carrying or a cell phone with the data on it, persons, houses, papers. Oh, my cell phone isn't my papers because it's digital papers. And effects. Oh, that's not my effects. Against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And then they go on to define what unreasonable is. And no warrants. Saying you got to have a warrant. And you don't just get a rubber stamp. No warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. I mean, what is hard to understand about that?
It's pretty clear.
But if we just waive our rights, Catherine Albrecht, we're covering a lot of issues here, but there's a whole laundry list of things happening. What should we be aware of right now?
Well, you know, we're talking about the Google search, and you were talking about how you can just look up police grab cell phone and you get the results. And I should point out that what you're getting when you search with StartPage are actually Google results without the Google tracking. And I think that's one of the features that we haven't really gotten into. But when we set up StartPage, your earlier listeners may recall that we had and still have a search engine called IxQuick. And IxQuick goes out and takes your search and delivers it in real time to multiple different search engines. So IxQuick will oftentimes have a different set of results than you'll get from StartPage, because what StartPage does is go directly to Google. And what's cool about that is we actually, nobody can deny Google has a fabulous search engine.
So you can search the NSA slave grid without Sauron looking looking back through the crystal.
There you go. Exactly right. So you get the advantage of all of the thousands of hours of engineering that have gone into making Google a really good search engine, but you're able to access them completely privately because we sort of play the middleman for you. So we go out there, we say, hey, Google, give us everything you have on Egypt. And then Google comes back and says, well, who are you? And all they say is, oh, it's an anonymous start page server. I have no idea who that is. So I can't censor the information or put it in a filter bubble or tie it in with your previous searches to market to you. I guess I'm just going to have to give you the information on Egypt. What do you know? And so then we turn around and we take that information, we strip away all the tracking cookies, all of the invasive technologies that Google associates with that, and we serve it to you clean. And then on the fly, we immediately erase the fact that you were ever even there. In fact, we don't just erase it, we never record it in the first place. So when you land on our servers, instead of us putting down your IP address, we put zeros. So there's literally no record of you being there. What's even cooler, though, is that you said that you found this police grab cell phone data with a start page search, and the first link was to ABC News. Well, if you click that, whether you get there from start page or Google or wherever, if you click that link, now ABC News is making a direct connection with your browser and with your computer. They're now in a position to read cookies, place cookies, track you, do whatever it is they want to do. And if they're unscrupulous, or let's say maybe a government agency with an interest in knowing even more about you, they could potentially even put malware or spyware or tracking software on there.
Computers in your house are literally like giant New World Order eyeballs, crystal balls both ways. That's even what they liken it to, because it can predict the future of tracking people looking into your house. Like, I remember telling people 15 years ago, 16 years ago, that cell phones by federal law had to be satellite tracked with the local cell towers triangulating them, and that they could dial in and listen to you without a warrant, even when the phone was off. Same thing with OnStar. Now it's all admitted. I mean, they have engineered everything to do this to us. And so, you know, stop the smart meters on your house. Disable the geolocating on the phones. Use startpage.com. What are some of the other things, Catherine, because this is really your expertise, we can do other than StartPage to protect ourselves from the eye of Sauron?
Well, and what I was going to say is, just on the start page issue, when you get that ABC News result, if you trust ABC News, go ahead and click. I mean, it probably doesn't matter much. But if it's something really sensitive and you don't even want ABC News to know it, then you can use the start page proxy. And so it enables you to not only search privately, so nobody's watching all of your searches, but it also allows you to privately figure out what is on all the web pages that you want to visit without anybody seeing you. So that and the encryption, I think it's really fabulous. Other things that people can do is just be a little bit more aware. You know, a lot of apps on just things that you can install on your smartphone, a lot of those apps in the fine print, or even not in the fine print, some of the Eastern European manufacturers of these apps and software designers are really criminals in disguise, and they've built back doors into these apps. So if an app looks a little bit shady, or if you don't really need it, if you don't trust who it's coming from, I certainly would not be installing that onto my phone. We know from Facebook, that story that I believe you covered a while back, which was about the guy who for $5 was able to purchase all of those Facebook addresses. I think he got thousands and thousands of people's actual full Facebook accounts, their email addresses, and more. And he was able to do that by purchasing this from some shady Eastern European block of criminals who had gotten the information by installing bogus apps on people's computers. And so if it looks too good to be true, there's a good chance that it is. That's probably a good rule of thumb. And as far as start page goes, you know, the hardest part, Alex, I think, for people to break is this habit of giving billions of dollars of free advertising to Google every single day when we just use this throwaway phrase, Google it. You know, go online and Google this or Google that. And I have to say, it took me a couple of months to break the habit, and I finally did. And now I say, start page it. And when people go, huh? Then it creates a wonderful opportunity to have that conversation. Yeah, well, start page will give you Google results without the tracking. Start page it. And I'm trying to make that viral.
Sure, when I say, just use the NSA spy grid, Google. So literally, it's like,
at least let them know what it is. Absolutely. If they're going to use it, they ought to know what it is they're using. No kidding.
But think about it. I mean, I like my neighbor or whatever down the street, but I'm not going to want them looking into my private information when I'm, they're looking up a medical issue or something. This is ridiculous that we've gotten this far.
But, you can contrast that, Alex. As creepy as it sounds, I would almost rather have my neighbor down the street with a spy cam looking through my window, because at least that one particular person is going to get old, they're going to die, they're going to forget, they're going to move. It's just one guy. It's just one person.
This is a record for any government minion.
Right.
Take Obamacare, where all of your medical stuff is now given to the IRS.
That's right. So what you need to understand is they collect everything. They're not like a human who gets tired, goes to bed, takes a nap. You know, they're collecting everything all the time.
Catherine Albrecht is our guest. We're going to come back with your phone calls. We've got a full house here. Alex Jones, Catherine Albrecht, Robert Beans, David Bodnick, founder of security and technical expert for StartPage, startpage.com. We'll be right back. The news websites are prisonplanet.tv and infowars.com, or streaming video at prisonplanet.tv. Stay with us.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right. Here come fleets of Google spy drones, and here comes the fleets of their little vehicles worldwide. They're robot cars. They're going to start lobbying now to not let humans drive and make your car be robot-driven. That's going to be the next phase of the technocratic takeover. Here's some of the articles at Infowars.com. Video: maniac cop knees kid in the head, screams, "Move so I can bleep you." How to end the tragedy in Gaza. New Ron Paul article up at Infowars.com. Pentagon boss announces expansion of drone and commando war in Africa. U.S. Army soldier arrested by police for asking questions. Benghazi populist resistance is... Brzezinski, populist resistance is derailing the new world order. That's just some of the stories up at prisonplanet.com and Infowars.com. Catherine Albrecht, Robert Beans, David Bodnick, they're all in studio. Well, these two fellows are in studio. She's almost in studio via video Skype. We're going to talk more about some of the key things they think you should know, but we're going to take your phone calls right now. Clayton, calling in from Canada, you're on the air. Who are you addressing your question to, sir?
Anyone actually.
Go ahead.
This is the Start Page folks. So I basically discovered the internet through Google and noticed very early on that things didn't really pop up the way I was searching for them. So I'm very happy that you guys have given us like an alternative that also gives us the same, you know, value of service, I guess. But basically, I just want to say on the whole thing of like privacy and basically I was actually wrongly arrested at one point for armed robbery, and the whole thing did not make any sense. So the whole, NWO kind of having their hands and everything definitely is apparent. Basically they came to my front door. They said, you know, you're under arrest. They didn't just say, we're going to take you in for questioning. They just, you know, right off the bat, you know, you're going in. And pretty much, it seemed to me they were just looking for evidence that we couldn't use against them to keep us safe, basically.
I hear you, Clayton. I appreciate your call. I mean, I wonder if there's a question there, but I'm glad you like StartPage.com. Thank you. George in Connecticut, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. I just got a new computer with a new operating system, which drives me crazy. It looks like they're looking for information 100 different ways they never did before is one. And two, is there another way to download something that's Light Outlook that keeps your privacy? Because I don't want to give Microsoft my information, especially my address book and all that great stuff.
Yeah, the biggest thing is I wouldn't use Microsoft. You should use an open source GNU or Linux. I mean, by doing that, you move more and more away from all these big proprietary globalist companies. Let's get David's take on that, because you're the tech expert.
Yeah, email is such an important question, and what we've been doing, it's not ready yet. Unfortunately, it will be soon, as we've been putting together startmail.com to give you that private email service, an email service that is encrypted so that we don't know, again, we don't know what you would have in your email. And I think that's a really interesting take on it, which is with basically all email services, all of your emails are in databases that hopefully somebody has goodwill and enough security barriers to keep other people out. But to the extent that you can make an email service where the people running it don't know what it is that you're emailing and getting emails for.
Yeah, let's be clear. Google on record, and so does Yahoo, all of them, they read everything. They have AI computers scanning it and keywords and putting it all in databases.
Yeah, and one of the reasons they do that is they're building these enormous profiles on you so that when you're reading about something, when you're searching and emailing about something, they can show you an advertisement that's just about that at that particular second.
And that's how they finance the slavery, but that's only one level to it. Catherine, do you have any comments on what the caller brought up?
Yeah, I think what people need to realize is when you are using a Microsoft product, you're using a product that's by a company that's known to be after as much data about you as they can get. I have some family members who recently got a Microsoft computer, and every other time you turn around, it was saying, would you like us to report this information back to Microsoft? Like, no, I don't need you reporting where I've gone and how I've used my computer. Thank you very much. So I am definitely a big believer in using Linux, as you recommended, Alex. And also, you know, Mac, as much as I don't love Apple, the Mac products are a little more secure than the Microsoft ones.
Sure. About a month ago, I got this big letter by the recording industry saying, we know you have all this pirated software. I just called up and said, look forward to your lawsuit. And they backed off right there. It was just a fraud. And I said, good, sue me, because I'm going to countersue you. I'm just sick of it. And they go, well, our computers are basically watching you. And I said, good, go to Hades. Your computers are wrong.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Suspenseful music roll a little bit longer. No, actually, I'm multitasking during the breaks, giving lots of orders that promptly go into black holes to only be repeated over and over again ad nauseum until the end of the universe. Seriously, the process we're going through is one that civilization has gone through over and over again. And the good news is the globalists at their Davos conferences and others are saying the people are awake to the private corporate technocracy that controls the major parties in every major Western nation, and that is moving us towards this corporate kleptocracy where these interests can just get away with any crime they want. And it is our acquiescence that empowers them. Take GMO. If we won't eat GMO, it will extinct their operations. If we won't put up with our children being trained to be prisoners in the government training camps, that will shut down. If we all just start saying no in little ways, you notice the whole globalist model is about you complying and how great it is to comply. Well, complying with tyranny has a name. It's called slavery. And I do not comply with being a slave. Robert Bean, CEO of StartPage.com, any points you'd like to add while you've been sitting there patiently listening to myself, Catherine, and the callers, as well as David? Any other points you think people should be made aware of?
Oh, maybe in adding to David's comment about our next product that will be launched next year, email, we found that many people have no clue how email works. They all think of it as in the old-fashioned concept where I would send a friend a confidential letter. I'd put it in an envelope, I'd seal it, I'd put a stamp on it, put it in the mailbox, and it'd be delivered by the postman to that friend. He opens the envelope and he reads the confidential letter to him. That's not at all how email works. Email works as follows. The postman comes to your house. He says, are you Robert Beans? Are you the guy sending this today at this time? And then he looks at my envelope. The first thing he does, he tears off the envelope. He puts it in a plastic bag and takes it to the post office. And if you stand next to him at the traffic light and you do your best, you can already read the mail that I'm sending. he's taking it to the post office, and then he's making a copy of that email. And he keeps that email copy of you in their database for the rest of your life. And then he goes to my friend and he says, are you this friend? And do you live here and there? And is it the time and the date that you're accepting this email? And that's how email works.
And this is 1,000 times literally above what the Stasi would do, or probably an order of magnitude above that, where they would just occasionally copy a letter and try to read some of the mail in East Germany. This is everything being saved and read by computers that every time a new email comes through, cross-reference it with that one.
With what right? How do they get the right to reach your private...
Well, they're the new world order. What right do they to put cancer viruses in your vaccine? It's a little gift to you.
It's also the general public who just accept it because they are so used to the old-fashioned private email, sending a private mail in the private mail system. But they're not used to email. They don't know about this. So they have to be informed, and then they have to be presented alternatives again. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish.
It's also a little bit scary that when you have an email that you think you've deleted and you think there's no trace of it anymore, but there's still a trace of it. There's still other people who can read that email that you've deleted.
Oh, it's like Google will let you delete your search queries, but it's like a little joke. It's like, oh, here, you don't want to walk off the plank into the shark-infested waters? Here, we'll put a blindfold on you. It makes it better. But the sharks, they can still see. They're nice little sharkies. Well, I think you're an extremist for not lying. I mean, how dare you try to let people actually search things without being tracked?
Right.
That's a question. Have you guys had any blowback? Have they offered to try to buy you?
No, never. We, in our whole history, had one police officer in the Netherlands who was investigating a person. And he said, I want some information on an IP address that I'd like to see some information on because we believe that they used your search engine. And we were very, very clear and simple reply we had to. And first of all, you have no warrant, so we don't have to reply anything. But we'll explain a little bit about how XQuick or StartPage works. We don't store anything, and we're trying to do that because we're trying to safeguard your civil right. And we explained him in more detail why we were doing it, and that we had absolutely no track record of the usage on the site.
He lost interest pretty quickly when there was nothing over there to look for.
Even further, he thanked us for it because he says, "So you guys are also protecting my civil rights." I said, "That's correct." Never heard a word of them anymore. That's the only case in our history which we had.
Well, that's when I tell police and bureaucrats and people like that, that look, these are your rights too. I mean, the world gets really bad when there's not basic liberties protected, Catherine.
No, I was going to say that's something General Petraeus should have taken advantage of, is the fact that we will be offering private email at some future point. You know, it's really an issue for everybody. And I should point out that even in the case of General Petraeus, as much as we may be frustrated by what he did, he wasn't breaking any laws. And, you know, there are plenty of things that, you know, when I take a shower, when I go in the bathroom, I shut the door because privacy is a fundamental human value. And, you know, all of the psychological research that they've done on people have shown that when you strip away people's privacy and you don't give them an opportunity to just let their hair down and be themselves, they're not hurting anyone. It's just being yourself behind closed doors. When you take that away from people, people actually become kind of psychotic. And so I think just for the value of living in a society where other people are not psychotic, we need to value other people's boundaries and give them an opportunity to have that access to privacy. I think it's critically important.
No, you're right. It's total dehumanization to not have privacy. And I go back to ancient Rome or other cultures that had slaves. What happened then, time and time again, was you just went out to the slave quarters and they knew there wasn't any privacy. And people that are in prisons, they're slaves. And that's now the prison culture that's the biggest in the world here in the U.S. is pervading via the TSA, the public schools, the corporations, where they have body scanners now at Sony and other places, where you go there and you're a prisoner and they urine test everybody every week and all of this. The idea is you're all prisoners, and now the TSA runs their hands through your hair. Even short-haired men now, and they get off on it. It's an act of dominance, which is what you do to a prisoner when they're coming into a high-security prison. They don't check the hair at low security prisons. I mean, you're going, America is becoming a giant supermax re-education camp, Catherine.
Well, and I think the key, as people hear this, it's hard not to get scared. I mean, it's a reasonable thing to go, ooh, that I'm not liking any of that. And I think that's why, as you know, I've been doing this since 1999, trying to wake people up and alert people about the danger of RFID chips and implantable microchips and shopper cards and everything else that invades their privacy. And I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be able to say, and by the way, now that I've scared you to death about Yahoo and Bing and Google and all the big search engines, there is a solution. And it's free. It's easy to use. You can make it your homepage. You can install it in your browser. Boom, you're done. So some other problems are not as easy to solve. And that's why I'm glad you're there, Alex, letting people know what those ones are and giving people the tools that they need to fight back. But one of the things, when you're in the privacy of your own home and you're using a computer and you've got the door shut and you don't want your next door neighbor or the NSA or some people running a giant corporation looking over your shoulder, that there are some tools that you can use. So I'm super excited about the email. I think that's probably going to be the most important thing that that we will be offering to the world, because right now, as we've seen with Petraeus, there is no way to privately send an email from one party to another.
And either that's the real scandal. I've been saying that since day one, and the media has finally picked up on the fact that the real scandal is the FBI, at first, without warrants, was reading the CIA director's mail about his girlfriend. And sure, morally, that's not good to do and a bad move. But come on, folks. They're watching everybody. And just like in England, it came out 4 or 5 years ago with MI5 and MI6. They were using all the cell phones and the tracker data to track the parliament. And we're using that to blackmail parliament. The bureaucracy and these corporations are playing God now with this information.
Well, and what's exciting, I think, is for the first time, there will be an email program available, the world's most private email, StartMail, which will not be readable even by the people handling the servers, which is us.
Yeah, when is this coming out? Because I want to get behind it.
Yeah, this is coming out in 2013. It'll be coming out next year. We have rebuilt it absolutely from scratch. We've got all the latest software. So we thought we were going to build this on top of an existing mail program. We said, we got to go back to every bit and byte and rewrite this thing from the ground up. State-of-the-art technology coming out in 2013. And by the way, if people would like to get on the list to get an announcement when it is available in beta, they can just shoot a quick email to beta@startpage.com. Just mention that you heard us here on the Alex Jones Show, and we'll go ahead and get you an automated reply to let you know you're on the list for an announcement when it comes out.
How do you do that again?
It's beta, B-E-T-A, like alpha beta, at startpage.com.
Beta at startpage.com.
Beta, yep. Startpage. Just say you heard us on Alex Jones. You want to get an announcement when it comes out, and as soon as it's ready, we will let your listeners be the beta testers and kick the tires. Let us know what they think of the world's most private email.
Sure. I mean, I want to get off all the emails I've been using. Because, and again, it's not that I have something to hide. It's nobody's business. But notice government makes itself all secret, but then tells us individually. Notice, Catherine, how it's gone from we're not spying on you. What are you? Come on, kooks. Where are your ten? Now, of course, we're spying on you. What's the big deal?
Yeah, and what's scary about that is it's a transition, and we predicted it 10 years ago. We said, hey, you know, they're lying to you when they say they're not spying. But I think it gets even scarier when they say, yes, you better believe we're spying on you, and what of it? We're going to do more of it.
Let's take some more calls. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, as these cybersecurity bills and other things pass, then I think having our company based in Europe is going to be a big advantage.
Yeah, because they're going to say federal law. I've got to save everything for the government. And I think I'm going to sue them over this. And I think that's the answer. And I'm not litigious, but number one, it's going to cost us a ton of money to have to save everything. And because we just flush it instantly because I don't want to deal with it. And the liability of keeping all this data. I mean, it's unbelievable. We got a legal expert on that right here. We need to have you on just via video Skype from the Netherlands, just on the legal aspects for companies of this. But I guess then you get a government waiver once it's law, so then everybody can just lose the data. It's unbelievable.
It's going to be like carbon credits, right?
Yeah, exactly. Plus, then they can put out fake data and say it's a leak. That's another popular thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go ahead and talk to Kevin in Canada. You're on the air with our experts. Go ahead.
Alex and guests, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I run a small IT company here in Banff, Alberta, Canada, Agenda 21 New World Order headquarters. And I just wanted to say a comment that I will be promoting the Start page from here on out for whenever anyone gets a virus removal and needs their browser updated. I'll make sure to set up their Start page as startpage.com, and I posted it on my Facebook as well as liked it.
Well, thank you. You know, that's a good point, because if you're also blocking the sites, that makes it hard for them to throw pop-ups up, all sorts of stuff that can then, you know, give your kid a link or whatever they're surfing to take your computer over, right?
Yeah, that's true. Man, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's great. I wanted to say great work, guys. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. And I've been using it, testing it out for a few weeks now, and great results with it. And I'm definitely going to be referring it to all my clients from here on out.
Oh, thank
there
you.
There you go. Very exciting. And again, we can just start pulling away from Mr. Google. But you know, like Catherine was saying, it's all these big companies. Does it shock you guys there isn't more competition in proxy surfing and proxy email and proxy searches?
It's pretty interesting, and I don't know why there isn't, except that there's so much money in that personalized advertising that that there's so many companies going in that wrong direction where they're saying, you know, we're going to help get even more detailed information about you, and we're and sell it to advertisers in order to personalize advertisements, and that's where there's a lot of money. And And, you know, it's just the wrong way to go. The whole concept of bubbling, where you're going to see the particular results that are really tailored to you, and it's insidious.
It is insidious. Thank you, caller. Let me hit a few positive points here that are very important. We need a little document cam shot on this for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Supreme Court says it's okay to record cops in Illinois. Next, they'll say it's okay to breathe. What extremism. Supreme Court revives challenge to Obama health law, saying it violates church's First Amendment right to practice religion by telling them, hey, abortion is what, you know, your God supports. It's the beginning of the end of the TSA's full body scanners. This is absolutely no one's surprise. The mainstream media last week ignored a legitimate grassroots protest against the TSA alleged invasive full body scanners. Alleged invasive full body scanners? They got caught saving the naked images. I mean, sure, there were whispers of national opt-out week, and there was quite a bit of that here and there. The trade publication Government Security News reported them, and then it goes on. They're clueless. Then they go on to break down some good news that they are going to try to move away from the scanners, but we'll be covering that more. And that's just some of the news that's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Continuing, we do have that key report up there that Brzezinski, the top globalist, is saying that people are waking up to the globalist. Catherine, let's jam in one more call here before we go to break. John in Texas, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead, buddy.
I have been using StartPage for a number of years, and I do research through that. I also use what's called Registry Scrub for XP to wipe off the URLs before I remove them out of my flash drives when I'm at the house. So when I come back from the library, I can do that so they don't cross handshakes, and I get less viruses that way. I also use JAP out of Dresden, and which is an anonymizer. And I've noticed that some of the libraries block StartPage. And sometimes if you can't get on StartPage, you can go to Isquick. But also, with my own personal computer at the library, I've used JAP, and I jump right over their system, and I can pull up StartPage or anything else I want to see.
That's right. You guys were nodding your heads. Big Brother doesn't like people using StartPage. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really disturbing. There are some library systems that that won't let you use StartPage.
We must know what you are reading. Do you think you have freedom?
Yeah, and they especially don't like the proxy service, which lets you anonymously click without being tracked onto the sites you want to visit.
And again, that the library, they know what computer you got on. They actually have your name. It's that, I guess, they want the loving NSA. It's got to be able to illegally track you. I mean, how dare you? Well, that was a great call. Thank you so much, sir. We're going to come back, jam in a few more, get final comments from Catherine Albrecht and more. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
chemicals for the water, and we've got the ProPure water filters 15% off. You might want to be an extremist and filter your water. We also have the fluoride filters you can add to it, and we got 15% off. I got rid of that for a few weeks. It was our most popular sale ever. I'm bringing it back, and we're going to run it through December 10th, and we've got it stockpiled. We're able, if you order it by December 10th, to get it to you before Christmas. But I would get your orders in now, and I would give it as a gift as well. We carry their entire range of filters at the lowest price you'll find anywhere, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139 for the top-of-the-line gravity filtration systems that blow their competition away, whether it's the Traveler ProPure or their Big Water Filtration System or their Water King. They're all there as low as $185 available at InfoWarsStore.com. And then you can take an additional 15% off that price with the promo code WATER15. Okay, gentlemen, I want to take a call or two here, but I want to just thank you all. Dr. Catherine Albrecht, I want to thank both of you for being here. We're going to meet after the show today and also do an interview for the nightly news, but we'll save it till next week. I'm tempted to get you to go out on the street, actually, with the reporters and say, do you know they're saving this? Do you know they're doing this? And have you guys do it. We'll see if you're game for that right after the broadcast here. But let's talk to Ryan in Texas, listening on our big affiliate that covers all of Dallas and Fort Worth, 1630 a.m. I've promised, by the way, to come up there and speak to their listeners again. I did it earlier this year. 1630 a.m. KKGM. You've got a quick question. Ryan, go ahead.
I do. I just started a t-shirt company based on pro-freedom stuff, and I wanted to ask them, I've been strongly recommended to get Google Analytics and go with a SEO, a search engine optimizer. What alternatives would you recommend if I didn't want to be part of Google's little game plan? And the last question I had was just about security. What do you guys recommend for the website? Because the last thing I want to do is give up any of my customers' information.
You know, that's a really interesting point that you brought up, because Google offers all sorts of really great products for free that happen to give them an enormous amount of data.
Because they're really getting it with the spying. Right. But I mean, just like fair trade or free trade, you know, coffee and all that stuff, this is the movement where people can vote with their energy and where they go to start a whole industry saying, hey, you know, we're not spying on you. And nobody has to be perfect up front. It's a process of being aware of it. We're not judging anybody out there in business who's part of this in one way or another. I'm trying to get informed and get better myself as well.
And there are no good free alternatives to that tracking, sort of website tracking system.
The architecture itself is being designed. Wonder who was behind that. Same folks that invented the web, NSA.
Right, and unless you're willing to spend a lot of money, that's how you can get really good data quickly and give it to them. So there's log file analysis tools that are free and may be good enough for you, but it's
sure
a product they can.
Well, we're going to have you both back up via Skype and Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Thank you, caller. Sorry the other callers were out of time. Callers from Wisconsin and California, you name it. Catherine, closing comments here in the last minute.
I was just going to say, you know, that's such evidence right there. It's all free, and people think, wow, it's cool and it's free, but you're paying with your privacy. So I would say forget about Google it, StartPage it, guys. There is hope. And if you guys support StartPage, we can start building all these other tools for you, too. I would love to.
You guys have grown incredibly. InfoWars has grown because of people's support. And we're all just platforms helping each other, banding together to try to make the world a better, freer place. If not, it's going to be very, very nightmarish and dark indeed. Great job, Robert Bean, CEO, David Bodnick, founder.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Thank you.
Visit GCNLive.com today.